week. March 2020 just got a little bit easier on your wallet as more delays have been announced. The game I'm looking forward to was pushed into March, so I'm not worried about it. These are just a few headlines we'll hear again later. Join us for all the night's timely news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 807 for this January the 26th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me as always, even if off cam, because that's where she wants to be, is Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
See my starry foot?
There you go.
Where is it? There you go.
That our folks can see live here at Twitch, because we do tape live.
Hi.
Every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at twitch.tv.
I have to show my shirt off.
VOG Network. Sure, go ahead. Okay. I will just mention, we had to do like a second start on Twitch tonight because we had a weird network error. So this is actually the second time we've been doing the intro. But the first time Dark Soccer showed that shirt. So there you go. Thank you.
I freaking love this shirt. Oh, it's a little too small, but I love it.
We're returning back from after a week off. We were all busy last week, just coincidentally. Dark Soccer, you were in the city, as they say. You went out to San Francisco.
I did.
Did you have a good weekend?
I'd had a very busy weekend, but I left unwell. I did the Women's March in FACE, so I went with sisters, and then we actually stopped about a block away from the Embarcadero. They're having us walk all the way down to the Embarcadero from, like, what is it, Fulton? Around there? But anyway, we walked down, and then we're like, you know what, we're not going to go down there, so we went and had lunch at the Cove. In the Castro, and guess who was there? Patton Oswalt. I kid you not.
Nice.
And with they were there for a film festival over at the Castro Theater.
Oh, okay, sure.
And he just came over and chatted with us. He's the nicest guy. Yeah. I did sneak a little photo, but I didn't want to like interrupt his meal or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was just really nice guy, and we actually joked back and forth about sister makeup. I was like, "What do you mean? I woke up like this? Oh, just a little dusting, then, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, a little dust." Wink, wink. He's just a really, really. He's as charming and nice in person as he seems in his interviews. So
that's always nice to hear when celebrities are like actual real people as opposed to divas.
Yeah, and he chatted with us. He's like, "I love the sisters. I love what you do." I'm like, "Yay."
Speaking of divas, also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
I'm just kidding. How are you?
I'm good.
So you last week went on your trip to the Broccoli Farm,
yes.
which is code for Disneyland. If you're newer to Orange Lounge Radio, it was about a year ago. You lied to the kids and said you were going on vacation to the Broccoli Farm.
Yes.
And in reality, it was a trip to Disneyland they were trying to surprise the kids with, which became this huge in-joke on OLR. So you went to you went back to the Broccoli Farm, and you got to do Star Wars Land and all that stuff now, right?
Yes.
How's that new ride?
It's great. So, yeah, it opened that weekend, actually. So that Friday, the 17th. And so they have this thing. It's a virtual queue. So basically you get in the park with everybody that's going with you, and then you have to bring up the Disney app on your phone. And right at 9 o'clock, you have to hit the button and hit join and hope that you get in.
Wow.
And so the first day, I had no idea what the hell I was supposed to be doing, so we didn't go there at all. Second day, I figured out what I was supposed to do. So it was one of the days I figured out what I was supposed to be doing there. And so I actually did join. And so we joined. I made a group, but it just so happened that it timed it with nap. And so we didn't get back to the park in time.
Oh, no.
So we missed it the first day, even though we got in. The day after that, we got in and went on the ride.
Okay, good.
And then the last...
So how's the ride? No one cares about the line.
Sorry.
How's the ride?
The ride's awesome. It is the most immersive ride in the whole park.
Ooh.
Like, the line, the queue itself, so you start off in this, like, rebel base thing, and you get this briefing from Rey from the new trilogy, and they're telling you that, oh, hey, the Empire is, they found our base, we need to evacuate.
Don't spoil everything, but you
get right. Well, basically, you know, we have to evacuate you, so they put you on this ship, and then there's, like, the ship sequence that you're doing it, but that's still the queue. And then, you get captured, and then you're on a Star Destroyer, and it is... goddamn awesome. Like, and you're still in the queue there, but they're treating you like you're prisoners, like that you're rebel scum and stuff like that. And It's hilarious.
It's fun at Disneyland to be treated like a prisoner.
Yeah, so then they eventually put you into a prison block, and then the ride starts. But it's just, the queue itself is really amazing.
That's kind of cool that Disney, you know, when you recognize that, like, lining up is, like, half the experience.
It is.
Disneyland,
it's really cool. And so, you know, the way they did it, yeah. And so, like, one of the last days we were there, like, I was like, yeah, what the hell, you know, like, I heard everyone cheering because I was picking out my son's gift. He wanted to pick out a gift, so we were at the Star Trader, and we were picking out stuff there. And I heard everyone cheering. I was like, oh crap! I forgot, you know, to jump in again and see if we can get on the ride again. Like, what the hell? I'll just join. Oh, okay. And, you know, 88, probably not going to get in because usually they stop. But each day they got more efficient at getting people through the rides.
Oh, this was like practice. Yeah.
So that last day, I think they were up through like over 100 in the groups or whatever. But we got to go on the ride twice that day because the first time we went on it, it broke down. So we also got to see the backstage too, which was great. So we did all that. But my son, he wanted to dress up like Kylo Ren because he watched episode 7 on the way down. And just, like, fell in love with Kylo Ren as a character. And so he wanted to dress up like Kylo Ren. He wanted to get, you know, the Kylo Ren lightsaber. So he had, like, the little lightsaber thing that we built, like, earlier that week. And he was walking around full costume, just dressed up like Kylo Ren. And it's great, though, because it's Star Wars Land stuff, everyone treats him like the Supreme Leader Kylo Ren. And so
I love that they do that for kids.
And so, like, the stormtroopers were talking to him and stuff, and they took pictures with him. The you know, some of the people waiting in the line of the rebels, they're like, that's just a disguise, right? You know, and then like, or like, and then on, I have some Twitter video as well. Like, if you follow me on Twitter, where one of the, guards or whatever, one of the people and officers, you know, talks to him and says, is everything to your liking, Supreme Leader? You know, we'll make sure that everybody is interrogated and stuff like that. And it's
we'll get the torture devices going immediately.
It's great. You know, so like,
love it.
He loved it. It was great. The only thing he didn't like is, you know, there's a drop in the ride, and he's very afraid of everything. So like, most of the rides, like when we were there, I didn't get to go on a lot of roller coasters because I had to stay with him, which is fine. I don't really like a lot of roller coasters anyways, but I still want to go on some of it. So he didn't care for the drop too much, but we got him to go on twice, which is fine.
So going to our chat, because we do tape live every Sunday night, like I mentioned earlier, over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Questbuster in chat says, that's great. Loki's kid was the leader of the First Order for the day. Yep. And ActDef says, that's awesome. It must have been a wonderful experience for him. So it's,
yeah, they had a lot of fun. It was like, we were trying to let him know, like this is a big deal because like this ride, when you come home, none of your friends will have gone on this ride. You know, this is you got to do it first. So
that was exactly how I treated Alan when we were first together and we went to Club 33 together because we got like that rare opportunity to go into Club 33, right? And I told Alan, you don't understand. This is a big deal. I know you're not a Disney gay and this is a new thing for you, but you need to understand what a big deal this is. And he said it didn't really hit him until we were actually there. And then he was like, oh, this is like kind of a big deal what we're doing right now. So yeah, it's just funny. Yeah.
And we did lunch at the Blue Bayou and stuff. I would not do that again. It was not
very good.
Oh, I love
it. I like Blue Bayou. It's fun.
Blue Bayou is a mainstay every time I go.
I love
now that Bucket of Meat's gone.
What the
Carthay?
No. Well, yes, I love Carthay, but what's the gumbo? I love the gumbo they have.
Really? My wife.
Yeah. Well, there's a little gumbo place that's like on the side. That place is pretty good if you want gumbo and don't want to pay a bajillion for it. But last time I went to Blue Bayou, it was when, because I don't think, I didn't go on the last trip because I was there by myself. But when JJ was with me from Australia, we had like a rack of lamb and just amazing stuff.
Damn, y'all, now you're making me want to go back to the parks. It's been a few years. Last time I went was when Alan and I got married.
The one that he liked, though, the one ride in Star Wars Land that he liked was the Millennium Falcon ride.
Okay.
And playing that. And so that one's kind of funny because you have to work together as a team. My wife did not want to do any of that. Like, she is just like,
your wife's not a team.
She's
player.
Like, I don't want to play a ride. I want to just ride the ride. I want it done to me. I don't want to, like,
your
have to, like, participate.
Your wife really hates video games.
Like, so she found out that she likes Gunner because Gunner, all you have to do is just sit there and just, like, push the button once in a while and, like, you don't have to look at anything. So that's fine. So, like, my son and I were...
So, my favorite rides at Disney, my absolute favorite rides at Disney, and yes, it is a video game show. I know, we'll get to it. We've been gone for a little bit. This does tie to video games because my favorite stuff at Disney is like the Buzz Lightyear. That's like a game.
Yeah.
And the Toy Story Midway Mania.
Midway Mania is
that, right?
So hard to get on. But like Buzz Lightyear, we went on that a bunch of times. And Midway Mania, we went on once. We wanted to go on the Cars ride, but didn't get to do that. And once again, because my son doesn't like, you know, faster, you know, rides a drop or anything like that. So it's like, I don't know. We did get lucky, and we did get to go on Haunted Mansion while still the Christmas stuff, because they had just closed that down like the day after we got there, which was cool. So, and I've never seen it before, so we went on that, and that was neat. What else? Like, yeah, we went on the Millennium Falcon ride a few times. I like how he calls it the Mammalian Falcon, because he can't pronounce stuff a lot. So that was fun. So we did that a bunch of times, and I don't know, just like my wife and my oldest son, they like roller coasters. So they were on, you know, Incredicoaster a bunch. They went on Goofy Sky School, Thunder Mountain. I like Thunder Mountain sometimes. I don't know. I'm very kind of like, problem is like I have to really desensitize myself to like these rides. And because I don't get to ride them that much with, staying with my youngest son, that like, I'm afraid to go on a lot of, like, anything, just, like, kind of, I don't like heights, I don't like, you know, they're like, you should go on the Incredicoaster, I'm like, no, I am not doing that thing, I don't need to be accelerated to 55 miles an hour, like,
it's fun,
that's the thing, it's like, I look at him like, that looks like a lot of fun, but I'm scared to death of that.
All right, look, we're turning into a theme park podcast. I got to steer us back towards video games, but lots of fun stuff it sounds like you were doing at the parks and you had going on in San Francisco. And I'll quickly say that Alan and I went to a musical. We saw Dear Evan Hansen, the touring show, because it just happened to be here in Sacramento. It was our anniversary on Sunday, well-timed, I suppose. And it was good. We had a good time. I was not super familiar with the show, so it was good to see, and it was a good night out. So, yeah. Now I think it's gone. I think it closed. You know, it's off to another city. It's probably like Salt Lake City or something now. But it was here through like last Friday. So yeah. So that's the second time I've missed Orange Lounge Radio due to a musical. Because you remember back in November we went to New York and saw Broadway shows.
Yes.
And I was at Moulin Rouge while OLR would have been on usually. So we'll see. I'll try to go for a record this year, 2020, the year of me skipping the show to go to musicals. All right, let's get into gaming talk, because we weren't here last week. We had the pre-planned night off just because we all had kind of personal vacation going on. And of course, like clockwork, that's when all this big video game news seemed to hit, right? So one of the big stories that came out last week was kind of a follow-up to something we'd been talking about the week before. So on our last episode, on the last Orange Lounge Radio, we were talking about this at the time, rumor that was going around that Sony was preparing to skip E3 this year. And we talked about like how, wow, that would be kind of nuts if they did that. You know, we were talking about the feasibility of that happening. Well, like clockwork, the next day, Monday, sure enough, it came out. Sony is skipping E3, and it was confirmed for the second year in a row. Sony is going to not be going to E3 this year. And this is for a variety of reasons. Nothing that Sony has really confirmed, so people are left to speculate what are the reasons. But things being cited are things that E3 isn't as relevant as it used to be anymore. Attendance was down last year. It was down to 66,000 from 69,000 the year prior. In contrast to that, Gamescom, 370,000 people went to Gamescom. I had no idea Gamescom was that big. I knew it was big.
It's huge.
I just felt, oh, it's the E3 of Europe. So I just assumed it was about the same size. That is very large. Like, Comic-Con isn't even that big, right? That is
right,
gigantic.
And like, I kind of wonder, like, I don't know what the environment of Gamescom is like, if it's as hectic as, like, you know, the E3 heyday, or if they have that organized, you know, down to a T, where it's not like ridiculous. I would imagine with those numbers, they'd have to have some sort. It must be really spread out. I really don't know too much about it aside from watching the press conferences. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of think it's some. I don't know if it's a mistake that they're not there, but I know like definitely with the focus is going to be on Microsoft this year, especially Microsoft and Nintendo, and I mean, you kind of want your console there to like show off some stuff in contrast, I guess. But I don't know. I'm sure they'll do their own thing. Hopefully sooner than rather than later.
Yes. Sorry, I'm very quiet. I don't know why, but I'm getting the little spinning wheel for connecting to chat on my main computer here. And I'm like, did our feed go down again? Are we having these types of problems tonight?
I'm still there.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. But I brought it up on my phone so I could still read some of the comments, which I promptly dropped, so I could still read some of the comments. The joys of doing a live presentation. Anyhow, so we talked about E3's relevance decreasing. That's also part of it. The cost of exhibiting at E3 is pretty high. You know, it costs a lot of money to get a booth at E3, and maybe it's something that Sony determined was not very much cost effective. And now there's this whole discussion that you can kind of just do things and not actually pay to be at E3, like how EA does their own thing across the street. We had groups that did stuff in the parking lot for the longest time. I actually don't think that parking lot's there anymore. But for the longest time, you remember, like, there was indie stuff in the parking lot and stuff. I think the Ouya, or one of those things, was in the parking lot one year. And that was a big deal. So, these are all reasons, potentially, even though Sony has not really said their own type of reason for why they're pulling out. I think everything you've seen has been very, you know, it's just veiled, like, niceties, professionalism, but not really telling us the tea. For example, a spokesperson talked to GamesIndustry.biz saying, quote, "We have great respect for the ESA as an organization, but we do not feel the vision of E3 2020 is the right venue for what we are focused on this year." So
what is it that you're focused on this year?
But it's still a little early in the year. It's hard to say. There's rumors that Sony will unveil this console in a couple of weeks, which would match the template of what they did with the PlayStation 4. It would make a lot of sense. And you brought up, as we were doing the phone call with Bobby there a few minutes ago in between shows, you mentioned about the retail thing, right? There's a big retail show that happens.
There was. It used to be around February-ish was when, like, you would have, like, GameStop and all the major retailers going to Sony. It was Destination PlayStation, I think is what it's called. I think that was something that they used to do in February. I don't remember if it was the same time every year, but I remember that's the year of the PlayStation 4 and everything, that there was that. Because I got in trouble from that because I kind of leaked a little bit of information about Call of Duty at the time. Yeah, I remember that. But, Destination PlayStation, I believe, is what it was called.
So now that we know this news is official, what do you guys think of this? And I open this up to you guys in chat as well. Like, is Sony making a mistake? Or are you guys, like, not surprised at all by this news? And just the fact that, you know what, E3 isn't really a necessary step along the way. What do you think of this news, Loki?
I mean, I don't know. It's not that different from last year. But as far as
there's a new console this time.
Well,
last year was a lame duck year.
But it was
that.
Still like, you know, yeah, they didn't really have much to show last year, I'd imagine. But, I mean, there's still other things they could be doing. Yeah, I would think with a new console launch that they probably want to do something unique with it to get the attention directly on the console and not, like, share the limelight with other people. But I don't know. I kind of miss that competition that they have, the back and forth like that we had with the Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, the rivalry that goes on at E3. There's now, you know, that's one thing that's going to be eliminated this year. Finally, that question of who won E3 is not really there. It's irrelevant at this point, right?
No, it'll still be there. It'll be which press conference was the best, you know, who had the best press conference. And sadly, most of the time it ends up being Ubisoft. Just saying, and, you know, I'm not always the biggest fan of, like, their properties, but typically they have the best E3 press conference, although hopefully Microsoft, maybe this year, or, you know, Nintendo.
Let me get to some comments from our chat room. And then, Darksucker, I want to check in with you as well. Hype Mayhem says, "On one hand, I can understand why Sony or other companies pulling out over the years. But still, I personally enjoy E3 coverage, and I like seeing companies doing pressers and having booths there." So I guess maybe that's kind of part of the bummer is that, you know, it was that one week we had to look forward to where, like, everything happened. And now maybe this year it's just going to be kind of spread out. I don't know if that's really, like, a good thing or a bad thing. I guess we'll find out as we go through the years. Zether in chat says, "I think E3 is just becoming less corporate, I guess. I don't know the best way to say it." in some ways, I think E3 is becoming less, well, I don't know how to say it. It's almost more corporate and it's not. Like, it is less corporate because they've invited the fans. I think that's one place where it's definitely not as corporate as it used to be. But I think almost some of the rules that the ESA has make it too corporate.
Here's what I think
the
problem with E3 is it doesn't it's confused about its identity. Is it a corporate event meant to get business done, meant to inform your retail partners on what's coming out and make planning for releases down the road, or is it a fan event that we're trying to get people hyped about the games coming out and that kind of thing? What is it? Like, they don't seem to have any sort of agreement on what it is. It's like almost like they're trying to make it both at the same time, and it's just not working for them. It's not good at either of the things. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think it's failing.
Let's see. Some other comments from our chat. Bobby Blackwolf says, and television will be there. So there's at least one other big console.
Well,
that would
be cool.
Hitstun says E3 isn't needed anymore. Videos online are good enough. I don't care much about a game being showed off at a booth unless they bring it to my hometown. Let's see. DJ Orwell in chat says, I can't care about video games until Half-Life Alyx comes out and either obsoletes everything or makes me cope so hard I check into an asylum. So
it would
be focused on one thing. And to be fair, that game probably isn't going to show up. It'll be out before E3.
Well, it would be really cool if, like, say, for example, Microsoft got their cloud streaming platform, like, down. And, like, hey, guess what? You want to check out the new Xbox games? We'll stream them right to your device, right to your Xbox One. You can play the next generation of games through the streaming service because, since all that gonna be processed remotely or whatever, then they could push the better graphics and that type of stuff. So you can check out the next gen games. I remember in 2006 they did, like, that was one of the cool things that I liked about the Xbox 360 at the time is they had demos for a lot of the games. Well, not a lot of the games, a few of the games that they had at E3. So there was Lost Planet. There was MotoGP and one other one, but I don't remember what it was off the top of my head. But they had those, like, you could play basically the same demo that's available for, attendees. You can go play that. It's kind of like bringing E3 at home type of thing. And so I thought that was really cool and kind of wish they'd still do that, but, they're not.
All right. Okay, Darsagra, you've been to many an E3 in your time. What do you think about this news that Sony is going to sit the year out? Do you think it's bad on Sony, bad on the ESA? Where are you your head out with this?
Shrug emoji.
Shrug emoji?
I really kind of don't care. E3 hasn't been relevant in years. It's just been a big waste of money in space where companies have basically just go out to sort of, stroke their dicks in public and look how great we are. And really no one kind of cares. They go to E3 to say, oh, I went to E3 and I saw this thing. There's better ways to do it. I'm happy Sony is sitting it out. I want to see it either turn into something more relevant for the industry or just grow old gracefully, die already.
Grow old gracefully and die. Dark soccer to E3. Okay, boomer.
Seriously, that is it. That is the E3 is the boomer model. Trade shows in and of themselves are okay. But trade shows are a remnant from a pre-internet age. Maybe when we were first going to E3 and the internet was still relatively adolescent, it was relevant. It was fine. We didn't have, there were people still on dial-up regularly in those days. But now we live in a different age where all of this stuff can be presented online on demand to be seen whenever we want. Why should you pay money to rent a space when you could just have a limited thing on your own dime in your own chosen location or tour? That touring thing would be great, but the internet is real. To quote Weird Al, we all have cell phones, so come on, let's get real.
All right. All right. Well, on that note, we'll move on and talk about our gaming weeks. By the way, just since we're doing this live, I'm having to fly blind a little bit right now because I don't know why, but my internet connection over here has just completely went, what? I don't know if my wireless USB is doing. I don't know if it's hacks. I don't know what's going on.
It could be because it's still running Windows XP.
Maybe it finally
It's like, no! No, you can't go on the internet. You're too old.
Windows 7 is no longer supported.
I know.
Your
everyone.
Computer is literally, you know, okay,
I
boomer.
I know. But the reality is,
there are
what
children
I got.
Newer than your computer.
Fair enough. This is the baby where it all started. OLR started with this.
And babies grow.
Throw it in the ocean.
And technology dies.
Right. Well, they. Oh, great. Give me money. Give me money for a new. Give me money. No. What?
How about that monitor that I donated?
Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Or the last 2 weeks, if you will.
Dark I did Soccer. Have another video experience. Remember?
Huh?
I was on a podcast last night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to talk about that now?
I can talk about it after.
Okay. Sure. Well, you brought it up. Go ahead and talk about it now.
Okay. So I was on a podcast called The Spinner is Lit, and they've had some questionable feedback because it was, it was a budget setup. We're not very budget in comparison, but it was a great show. They did it in a different location. It was nice and quiet, and people actually took their turn and talked, so it was good. And it was really fun to be a part of it and talk about pinball and compare things that are happening in the video game industry with what's happening in the pinball industry. So I will be on their next episode. It's on like all the things, but it's called The Spinner is Lit, hosted by Dan's buddy Spencer. Dan was on it. We were on it together. And Dan's buddy Brian and I forgot the guy's name, but the one who hosted it at the house. But it was a good time. I said I would definitely give them a plug, but they're good guys and know a lot about pinball and are really focusing on the Northern California pinball scene. So there you go.
A comment from DJ Orwell, who I think is newer in our chat room, who says there's things happening in the pinball industry. New tables come out and stuff. And the answer is hell yeah, right?
Well, they talked a lot about Stranger Things because they went to go play it.
Oh, yeah, that's the hot new thing right now, right?
Vito's Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the big discussion was on Stranger Things, and there was a stream of it up, so we were looking at a few things, so.
In fact, since it was brought up, pinball's kind of a renaissance-y thing right now, right? Like, I think, like, maybe there was a few years where there's only, like, one or two companies still really doing it, but we're kind of, and I don't know if that's because of the success of pinball in video games through, like, Zen Pinball, or it's just that, like, pinball has become a thing that's come back to bars and smaller things, but, like, I feel like there's more people in that game of pinball right now than there have been really since the time we've been doing this show. Is that a fair assessment, Dark Soccer?
It's not that pinball is coming back. Pinball has been back.
Yes, I know pinball has always been here, but it's
like
No. Those...
I'm not saying always been here. I'm saying it has been back already for years now. Mm-hmm. The resurgence started years ago. I mean, we had that Pinball 2000 thing, and it was kind of hokey. And then there was another little bit of a lull after it, and then pinball started getting a massive resurgence, and Stern really started putting their mark back out on the market by releasing quality tables and getting IPs that people were interested in. And then we started getting, like, the rise of Jersey Jack, for example. Thanks, Smoosh.
Mr. Smoosh is lending his comment to the show.
I'm trying to remember, because there's another one that I'm trying to remember that isn't Jersey Jack or Stern, but... but it at the very least, there's also now new innovations being made in pinball that give you that feel. My thought about the Stranger Things table is that it's doing what Pinball 2000 was supposed to do, but it's got it a lot more. Spooky Pinball is one of the other ones I was thinking. But the thing is that I think that interactivity with having projections on the posts and having that big, kind of background monitor-ish thing, with the projection and everything, has added a lot more to pinball. However, I understand that right now that Stranger Things table has, I'd probably say, needs quite a bit of tweaking in their rules and the programming, and also big issues with the locking mechanism. So, like, the posts don't work, and posts have existed in technology, in pinball tech, for, like, ages. So I don't know why there, like, so many tables are having problems with their posts. But we go into that on The Spinner is Lit.
All right, cool. So if you want to hear more about pinball culture, there's a place to check it out. So cool. Also, quick programming note. My internet is back. You know how I fixed it? You know how I fixed it?
You shut it off and
I turned it off and then I turned it back on.
You petted the cat.
And then I took care of the cat.
And then you touched the cat.
Yes. Anyway. All right. I'm sorry. How was your gaming week outside of the podcast and pinball chat?
I did play some pinball. I was actually super sick with a sinus infection, so my attention span has been like, what? So I played some of the tables at home. I got the new Sims expansion, the University Life, and I got the Tiny Living expansion. But every time I try to like sit down to play, like I'm tired, I don't play. So really not a lot. Dan and I went though on a Shenmue rampage. So we have now been through all three games so far. And like, wow, this story is convoluted. And I think that they voice acted Shenmue 3 like that on purpose. So, and of course, you know, I'm back to, yeah, we found sailors. We, and a forklift. And Lundy! Anyway, so we, and the other one, yes, Shenhua? Anyway, so we really haven't done that. Dan has got our freebie Black Rose working. Well, kind of working. It will turn on and start a game, but it still needs a lot of love to it, and it needs some love done to the play field, and there's a few other repairs that need to be done. Crap, there was another thing. Oh, yeah, I'm playing Patterned again on Apple Arcade, which I fucking love that game. And, of course, Pokemon and the dumb Harry Potter game and Animal Crossing. And the stupid Ryakuma farm, it's kind of stupid. By kind of, I mean really, but it's a waste of time. That's it.
All right, Loki, how was your gaming week? What did you play?
It's all been Orna. It's all been Orna.
Oh, no, you get your... Lizette is in chat, the Orna pimp. I don't know what else, the one that brought that curse to this program. But you're still having a good time with it?
Yeah, I'm...
I was playing a bit of it, too.
117 now.
Are you? I'm 131, but... A big part of it is like I'm trying to claim new land. So like I went on the trip to San Francisco just this weekend. Actually, I just came back this morning. I'll get into that in a minute. But while I was riding BART, I just was like, just had Orna up and I kept attacking new, or not attacking, but you know how you can take an area for exploration and you can like take an area from another player.
Yeah.
Well, I'm too weak to take them from other players really. But like I was able to fight like all these bosses just while I'm like on BART. And so, you know, it all turns into like daily and weekly incomes. That was cool.
Yeah. So I've been doing that, and I've been doing some of the arena stuff and some of the dungeon things. Like I've been finding that if I just fight a lot of the bosses with, like, especially after collecting some of the XP boost stuff, that it really boosts your level. Like, I went through 116 to 117 very quickly just doing that. So, it's mainly been just Orna this week. I also, like, so we were supposed to see our two sets of cousins, or my kids were supposed to see the two sets of cousins, and one of them, they were sick. So we ended up keeping, they have the little arcade cabinets like you have, but the Stranger Things one.
Like these little baby ones.
Yeah, so we have the Stranger Things one, so we have two of those
now.
Oh, yes.
The games in that aren't very good, though, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say, okay. Is they are terrible. Like, I get it, like, it's supposed to be Stranger Things thing, but, like, could you really, like, come up with something better than just, like, everything having to do with waffles? I mean, like, seriously, like, all of them had to do with Eggo waffles, and I get it. 11 likes Eggo waffles. That's not the only plot point in the whole show.
You know what's funny? That plot point never comes back in season 2 or 3.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It's just, it's like ridiculous.
Spoiler, I guess.
Like, it's just, like, come on, you guys. Like, stretch it out a little bit. But they're just knockoffs of, like, other games. Like, there's a game that's just, like, Space Invaders, and it sucks. And there's a game that's, like Arkanoid, it sucks, and like all of them suck except for, like, you know, the pack. It was Pac-Man, Dig Dug, Galaxian, and Galaga, I think, are the only four official games in there, and then everything else is like there's like 20 other like knockoff shit games that are in there, and none of them are good from what I've seen. But yeah, who cares? It's, you know, my kids got it for free because my wife meant to give it to our cousins, and they're like, played it for a second, and they're like, okay, I'm going to turn this off. I'm going to go back to my other tablet that has, like, an infinite amount of games.
All right. That it for your gaming week?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Because, like, actual games. I did a little bit of programming. I'm trying to get, you know, my level creation stuff done for my game. Because I'm already starting to, like, you know, think about other games I could be making. And I don't want to get into that. So, I've been working on getting this stuff. I really, like, I was thinking about it because, like, even though this was a vacation, like, it doesn't really feel like a vacation to me. It's, like, more stressful than anything. It's, like, I didn't really have a ton of fun going to Disneyland, which is kind of weird. So, like, I was like, man, I really wish I could just, like, take a week off and just sit here and just program stuff or... But I've done that. I've taken a couple days off before to do that, and I don't get a lot of stuff done. So I just need to find a way to focus and then do that.
You probably
that
have to leave your house to do it.
Probably. Like, I feel like, yeah, that might be better, but, like, it's hard to do that.
Okay. My gaming week. So I have been playing a few video games. I've also been playing a few board games. There's quite a few. Let's see, a couple that I can, like, remember off the top of my head, some of the details. I was playing a game called Terrace, which is, it's like, it's from Star Trek. It's, like, in the background, in Star Trek The Next Generation, but they made, like, an actual board game of it. So it's kind of like chess, but it's not, like, but the way you learn how the pieces move and stuff is a lot easier than having to remember, how does the knight move? What is the bishop? It's a little easier to pick up and learn. So that was cool. And then, I mentioned I went to the city real quick this weekend because, it was some of you know, I've been involved in the Rocky Horror community for, like, years and years. And I was at the very first show in San Francisco at the Clay Theater, which the Clay Theater has been around for 110 years, you guys. And today's the last day of its operation. It's really sad. So the last Rocky Horror was this Saturday, and it was like I had to be there. So luckily our pal JD, who I know listens to the show, helped me with a place to stay and so forth, so I could go check out the last Rocky at the Clay, which was very sad for me. But I'm glad I could at least be there and support the show. Anyway, the reason why I bring that up is that this weekend happened to be, like, his board game day. So I played a board game with them, too, even though I went out and played a lot of Ingress and stuff as well. But I was able to play – it was, like, a Star Trek dice game. I don't remember the name of it, but it was basically, like, cooperative Yahtzee. Like, you would have these red alert cards, and you had to roll, like, certain dice in order to, like, put them on the cards and be able to remove them. It was interesting. I liked it. Yeah. I like those, like, cooperative games, especially things like Sentinels of the Multiverse and, you know, things where you're kind of working together to, like, build a deck to, like, take out a boss and things like that. So I think they were playing one after I left or something that was, like, Marvel-themed, that they were doing that sort of thing. So that was pretty cool. So, yeah. So that I did board games and more traditional sorts of games this week. But I did play video games as well. Still playing way too much Final Fantasy XIV. I got all of my healers to max level for the new expansion. So I'm a healer supreme. And I finally got to play Dancer for the first time, which is fun. I think Dancer's really fun to play, even if it's a little – they're not quite as strong because they're more of a support character. I talk about that game enough on this show. So let me also talk about – randomly decided to play No Man's Sky again. Completely random, sort of like, huh, what game haven't I touched in a while that I want to go back to? And I'm like, so I'm probably more into it now than I have, like, ever been, just because there's just new things with all the new little quality of life patches they've done. And again, if you haven't checked out No Man's Sky since the
I
very
haven't
first release,
in a long time, and I have it on PC and PlayStation 4.
You won't even recognize
4.
It. I mean, you'll recognize it visually, but the game itself, you'll be like, oh, this game actually tells you, like, go do this quest, go do this quest. It, like, walks you through the story, and it makes sense, and it's kind of neat. And, yeah, so I'm just – there's something just very zen about that game and just, like, exploring new planets and landing in places and knowing that, like, technically it's multiplayer because now it is, although it's also kind of not because the universe is so big you're never going to run into anybody ever. So, yeah, I don't know. That game is just, like, fascinating to me. I really like it. One other game I'll shout out, I got to play the game, and Bobby's talked about this game a lot on his show, so you music game fans will appreciate that I played Autica. I played Autica in VR first. Actually, Autica is only VR, so I'm sorry. I played it on a PC-based VR, which I think was the Oculus – what's the independent headset that
– The Rift?
I think – the one that's not wired.
You're talking about the Oculus Quest?
Yes, I think it's that. Sorry, I'm probably getting it wrong.
Oculus Go. Oh,
yeah, so I played it on one of those, and I really liked it. And I was like, oh, I should pick this up on PlayStation 4 because I forgot that this actually came out for PlayStation 4. It doesn't run quite as well in my setup because I don't have a great VR setup, but I still enjoy the game. It is, everybody's kind of described it as, it's Elite Beat Agents in VR, and that would be kind of accurate. Yeah, I like, there's a lot of expansion songs, like completely, like there's like Nicki Minaj Starships and Ariana Grande Into You and like all these very poppy type songs, but mixed in with like the Symbionic Project stuff that is always with Harmonix games. And
I should,
like
I bought Beat Saber. I should actually play Beat Saber now that I think of it.
So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, I had fun playing that. So yeah, that was my gaming week pretty much. So yeah, and then obviously I was gone all weekend, so I didn't really get to game a lot this weekend. But that's a variety of stuff. So. All right, let's move into more gaming news. I'm trying to think if there's any other housekeeping I need to mention. You plugged the show. Oh, I do. There is one big thing. I got to get this out there. This is a huge deal. You guys have been asking for this, and I'm proud to say, finally, we're delivering on it. So when we were getting emails on it and everything, you guys are asking, when in the hell are you going to get on Spotify? Like, I've started listening to podcasts on Spotify. Where the hell is Orange Lounge Radio? Why aren't you on Spotify? Well, you can ask that question no more because now we are on Spotify. So if you are a Spotify user and that is your preferred method to listen to podcasts, I'm happy to report. Just search for Orange Lounge Radio. We're really easy to find. Go to Spotify, search for Orange Lounge Radio. There we are. So your follows, your listens on that platform mean an awful lot. But no matter how you're listening to this show, if you're using the Apple Podcasts or Google Play, you know what? It helps no matter where you're listening to this show. So thank you for your support of the show. So there's that. We're on Spotify, and then the other housekeeping thing would be that there's we're going to be actually 2 weeks without a live show, and that's my fault, and that's going to be March 1st and March 8th. So I will talk to my lovely co-hosts about recording something in advance, kind of like we did before the last time I missed pre-planned 2 weeks in a row. So here's the deal. For those of you that have listened to the Starboard Power Coupling here at Vogue Network, the Star Trek-based podcast with Captain Matt and Dr. Ken and all that, they have convinced me after however many years it's been, I think it's been 4 years, to go on the Star Trek cruise. So I'm going on the official Star Trek cruise, but it's a week-long cruise and it's Sunday to Sunday. So I fly out like Saturday the 29th. And I come back like that Sunday. So actually, I might be back that Sunday night, but I feel like I'm really pushing it and I'll probably be really tired. So it's not in my best interest to plan to do a show that night. So I just want to let you live folks know, and we'll figure something out. If nothing else, maybe Dark Sakura will do a – because you remember when my mom passed and I missed all those shows, you kind of took the reins for a little bit and did your own little thing. And I would totally support that if you want to do that while I'm gone. So, all right. Do you remember that? Yeah. So, you all right?
I'm okay.
Okay. You just weren't saying anything. I was like,
I'm just a little bit mad at people right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
About all these people deifying someone who raped a teenager.
Oh, all right. Well, let me move on. So let's move on into some gaming news. So let's talk about
all the things you're not going to get to play in March.
Yeah, what's up with that? So we had a joke intro like last week or no, 2 weeks ago that was like March 2020 is coming. And I really should have had the joke intro tonight be never mind. March 2020 is no longer coming. False alarm. Because not only like while we were gone, but this week, like everything is getting pushed back. Right, Loki?
Yep. So all the games that you've been waiting for, well, some of the games you've been waiting for have been pushed back. So let's start off with Final Fantasy VII Remake, that's been pushed to April, and the Square Enix Avengers game, that has been pushed to September, and it will join my really anticipated game, which was Cyberpunk 2077, which has also been delayed to September 17th. That's unfortunate. And last but not least, though, along with Avengers, we also have the Iron Man VR game has been pushed to May 2020. And that was originally coming out in February. Man, I guess this is good news in the sense that, hey, you know, it's better to wait for a functional a better game than to just have them rush it out and have it be broken.
A bad game is bad forever. A good game, you know, yeah, we all know the Miyamoto thing.
Not always nowadays, but like some games are bad so long that they decide they don't want to fix them to the point where they are functional.
And game delays aren't like bad news. I think we're all at the point where it's like, you know what, these delays are going to happen and the game is usually a better product for it. And in retrospect, there are some games I wish would have been delayed, Andromeda, that weren't, that probably needed it. So, yeah. You know what, you can't really look at a lot of this and go, this is horrible. But certainly when it's all happening at once, it does kind of go like, wow, that's a little weird. What's interesting, Bobby's pointing out in chat, and I think this is important too, is anyone remember how Animal Crossing was delayed to March? So, you know, March would be empty without that delay, right? Animal Crossing was originally supposed to be a holiday game.
Would I still be Doom?
Yeah.
Unless I get delayed.
No, Doom, well, no, I think Doom is for sure happening. I think at this point the game's probably gone gold. We're only like, how far are we out from that? It would be like, are we at the 6 week mark?
Maybe a few weeks.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that is a thing at this point. So SG100 Matt says, push it all back. More time to save up for them and to play the games I already have. So, yeah. So a lot of stuff getting delayed, but now it's just spread out throughout the year and I guess more time to play other stuff. Like was mentioned there, Doom or Animal Crossing, in fact. It's interesting because Doom Eternal and Animal Crossing are actually due to come out on the same day. And there's been interesting, like, fan art online of, like, Doom Guy and Isabelle. Have you seen some of this stuff?
No.
There's a really crazy one. Like, her in full armor and him wearing, you know, being all buff and wearing the dress.
Yeah. No, it's, like, really funny, some of, like, the crossover and stuff that's happened. It's really cute. And I'm curious. Are there people out there that are interested in both games, day one release? Like, I'm like, on the line. I thought the Doom reboot was really good, and I'm interested in Doom Eternal, but I don't think I'm $60 interested in Doom Eternal. Like, I kind of wanted to just see how that pans out a little bit. But, like, Animal Crossing, oh, I'll definitely pick that up day one just because I'm a dork for that stuff, and I like it. but what's interesting is that Game Informer did an interview with Hugo Martin, the game director for Doom Eternal, talking about this release and the fact that these two games are out the same day. And Hugo Martin said, I think it's awesome and speaks to the amazing diversity that we see in games today. I honestly root for other games and other studios, which, a quick aside in my own thing, not a part of the quote, I think when you do work in such a small industry where there is a lot of turnover at different organizations and stuff, you don't want to burn your bridges by being like, oh, fuck Microsoft. They're a bunch of assholes. Like, you know, you never know when your studio might close down and that is the place to get a job, right? So, you know, people don't burn their bridges very often in the industry. It's not a smart thing to do. And I think, too, because in a way they're all in it together, a lot of people in that industry have worked the crunch time, have done those types of things, you know. So it's like almost like it's a fraternity/sorority of all these people who have kind of like been through it. And so they support each other, I think. Anyway, back to the quote from Hugo Martin. I'm so proud to work in the game industry and the fact that two games that are so completely different, getting a ton of press, come out on the same day. It's an incredible time to be in development, and I'm excited to play Animal Crossing. So, yeah, and you know what? In the movie world, don't we always get, like, you know, the big, like, action blockbuster type thing coming out versus the sweet rom-com, right? And they come out the same day because it's like, there's not a lot of audience that's going to be interested in both. There might be some, but, you know, there's not a lot of audience that's going to be interested in both. What do you guys think about both these games coming out the same day?
I'm not a huge fan of Doom. It looks like a good game, though, but I'm more interested in Animal Crossing, so we'll see.
Orange Wright in chat says, the recent update with the first two Doom games is definitely making me more interested in the Doom 64 re-release. You know, I didn't talk about it during my gaming week, but I'm kind of samesies on that with you because I downloaded the original Doom on PlayStation 4 just to check out, like, the WAD support and all that, and it's fun to go back and visit. It runs... Man, I wish my computer had been that good back in the 90s running that. So it's fun to play it. It does kind of make me interested in Doom. Let's see. Zether says, that game rules. I feel like it's the real Doom 3. Fair enough. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, Cyberpunk being pushed inclines me to wait until the new consoles come out to play them there. That's a really good thought.
Hmm.
do we wait for PlayStation 5 at this point to check out Cyberpunk? Because we're kind of banking on the fact, we know Xbox will do it, and we're banking on the fact that PlayStation 5 is going to play all the PlayStation 4 games, because one of the big things they've been showing off on PlayStation 5 is the Spider-Man game.
I think
game.
By the time we get to that point, we'll know what the situation is. And I think on the in the case of like Xbox stuff, that a lot of these, like especially like the Series X stuff, will still be playable on Xbox One. So it could come out as an Xbox Series X game, and just that functionality won't be in place until the new system comes out, or maybe they'll release a version of it that still works with the Xbox One. It'll just replace the other one. I don't know.
Bobby Blackwell says real Cyberpunk players will play it on PC anyway. Now, I do love PC gaming, but there's certain things I just prefer to do on console. We'll see. I haven't really thought that far ahead to Cyberpunk yet. I kind of want to see how it reviews. Like, I expect it's going to do pretty well, but I just kind of want to hear some of the feedback on the game. Again, you know, $60 is a lot of money. Doing this little podcast for y'all, like, as long as we've been around and everything, that doesn't mean we're, like, showered in free games, okay? And even if we were, then that creates all sorts of, like, you know, ethics types of things and what have you. So we buy our own games. So at $60 a game, like, you know, things start to get expensive, right? Y'all feel the same struggle. So you really have to think about, like, what games do I want to drop $60 on? But Animal Crossing is one of those games. And I know Dark Soccer is the same case for you. You're not even going to flinch dropping – well, is it $50 for Switch games, or are they up to $60
now? My order's already in.
Yeah.
So I don't care. I mean, I already said I was going to get – Dan and I were talking about getting a Switch Lite.
Oh, yeah.
So that I don't have to take our house Switch with me to play.
I'm surprised they haven't announced, like, an Animal Crossing themed Switch Lite.
That's kind of what we're holding out for.
Yeah.
And if they don't do it, they don't do it. So what? But I'm super excited about it. I'm in, like, three different groups. They're like, oh, my God.
I just don't want to get a Switch Lite because I have a lot of my games digital and, like, I'm going to have to buy, like, two copies of each game, and that's going to be a pain in the ass.
Well, and what I was saying is that one of the groups that I'm in got some pictures from the trade show where they had, like, a brochure that was out, and there's scans of the brochure out. That even has a little comic in there. And the new Animal Crossing manga is following New Horizons. So,
do we know, like, how online's going to work in the new game? They haven't really talked about that, right? We don't, like, is it still like a you got to open your gates type of thing, like the old games?
Nintendo talking about online?
I don't think it's
going to
be like
what?
That. I don't think it's going to be like that, but we'll see. Because, I mean, you have, like, the local play, and then there's going to be, I don't know, it looks like it's going to be a lot more of an interactive kind of thing, so it might not be a gate thing. Now, me, I don't go online, so y'all bitches can stay out of my village unless you come over. No, I probably will let a few people
in. You'll
let
me come online, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. DJ Orwell in chat says, someone give me a quick rundown on what's new on this new Animal Crossing. So, I mean, some might say it's just the same format again. Somehow this one does feel different, though, because they've kind of changed the landscape, right? You're not, like, doing your own town. It's like you're going on vacation and you have your own island, and so it lends itself to these different types of mechanics. So it's trying to kind of differentiate itself from the old formula, right? If I'm understanding things correctly.
A little bit.
Yeah. Darsakura's nodding there a little bit. So I would expect some point between now, DJ Orwell says, no Resetti, no buy. Resetti's got to be in it. Come on.
Well, I mean, Resetti, there actually, I think, is nothing saying that Resetti was going to be in the game. I don't think he should have been any of the material. Although they did confirm Blathers, which means Celeste is going to be there. There's the new airport, which I have a feeling that the airport is going to be more of the way to visit the other islands. They had, like, as a sort of an Easter eggy kind of thing in New Leaf, where you would, if you placed a manhole, then every so often you would find the manhole open and you would go into Resetti's house.
Okay, so even if, like, autosave is now a thing on the
it's
Switch.
It's like a janitorial office.
And there's no need for Resetti. They'll put him in the game somewhere.
So one of the new things I know that they have in this one versus the other games is that you can decorate the outside of your house.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge new thing.
And,
yeah.
Like, I think even, like, a garden and, like, pathways and stuff like that, like, you can actually change more of the landscape in that sense.
It's almost like the creators of Animal Crossing are aware of Stardew Valley. And how incredible that game is done, right?
Yeah, I would imagine that they are aware of that game.
And SSJ100 Matt wants to know, are you going to be doing any streaming of Animal Crossing Dark Sakura?
If I can get it set up, sure.
All right.
It's basically going to be me, you know, walking around hitting people with a bug net. And
you're not going to be able to do that on a Switch Lite, just saying.
Well, but if you have
you
the game...
You can get a bug net and you can hit animals with a bug net.
But you I think can't mean stream.
It's going to be harder to stream. But you'll have both, right? You just move your game cartridge.
Yeah, because I'll just keep everything on my game cartridge, so whatever.
All right, well, anyhow, let's move on and talk about some other gaming news and a little bit more of gaming in the real world, right, Darksakura?
Yeah. So, I don't know how many people remember this. It was, I think we kind of brought it up. It happened in March. But there was a guy who was trying to sue. I'm trying to get his full name out of here. Yeah, it doesn't actually list. Oh, Amro El Ansari of Exton was suing that his civil rights were violated when he was muted out of an online video game. He did a handwritten lawsuit that Jagex Incorporated in the UK and several Chinese firms violated his free speech and due process of law when he was muted out of some streaming game in March of 2019. It doesn't say what the game is. He said he had over 2,000 hours invested in the game when he was booted out. Jagex denied the appeal of muting him without telling him why. That's what he said. And he was looking for damages in, quote, whatever the jury sees fit, plus demuting. At any rate, the U.S. Eastern District Judge Mark A. Kearney allowed Ansari to pursue the case as a pauper's case and then promptly dismissed it on grounds that there hadn't been any real constitutional claims. And so he applied to circuit court. And the circuit judge was like that it wasn't unequal treatment as compared to the other players who weren't muted. And so basically, they said that Jagex was perfectly fine to allow him to be muted, that was their policy, it was fine. And there have been... The guy has done... This is the second in 2 months that they've killed a lawsuit by this guy. And they also in November refused to reinstate a case he lodged claiming that he was scanned by the Tinder dating app.
So
I think this guy's got problems.
Well, I think he's just a frivolous lawsuit kind of person.
Well, in 2016, the Superior Court denied appeal that he filed after he was arrested by the Bloomsburg University police for lighting up on campus in front of campus cops. And he was also convicted on a marijuana felony. And he has 10 lawsuits in the U.S. Eastern District Court last year and a half. He lodged 4 of them in July 2019 alone. So yeah, he's one of those frivolous sewers.
Right. Let's see.
Stupid.
They're confirming in chat that RuneScape is the game that was a question here. SGO and Hunter Matt says, well, just scrolled off the screen. Whoops. You guys are very chatty. SGO and Hunter Matt says, this Dingleberry wasted everyone's time and tax dollars with this garbage lawsuit. And yeah, I mean, and Azette says, perpetual victim. And yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes to the First Amendment, I think we all know, but some people clearly don't, that the First Amendment does not protect you when it comes to private property. You know, when it comes to the RuneScape servers and stuff, if you say something stupid, they have every right to ban you.
And handwritten.
Yeah, you can't just say freedom of speech. That freedom of speech means the government can't arrest me if I get up here and I say Donald Trump is a fucking asshole. I can't get arrested in the government because you know, in some countries, I would get arrested for saying that. Check the news sometimes. You can't talk bad about the leaders of certain countries in those countries, right? But I can say that. But what it doesn't protect me from is that if I say that, somebody might go, well, that guy's an asshole for saying that about the president. I don't want to follow him anymore. Block. I can't sue that person for blocking me. I said what I said. But
freedom
I
of speech is not freedom from consequence.
Bingo.
That being said, I think that this guy just seems like one of those perpetually entitled little shits. Hey, guess what, dude? I think you're a little shit. And I can say that on air here in America because I can say what I think. You're a little shit. You can get mad and that's the consequence, but it won't affect my life any.
Phoenix 7726 brings up, you can't compare a certain leader of a major nation to Winnie the Pooh. And we did see some Well, we saw a lot of that. Remember the BlizzCon protests with the Hong Kong issues and all that? So, I mean, you know, as...
There was a student here in the U.S. that got arrested when he returned to China because he had posted pictures of Winnie the Pooh on his Twitter.
Yeah, so that is an example of what happens without the First Amendment, right? So, anyway, y'all know, and I think pretty much most of us watching and listening kind of understand the same page that, like, hey, this guy is not, you know, able to just get himself unbanned with a lawsuit. I suppose the furthest I could go to meet this guy is that most companies should have a system in place where if you get banned, you should have a way to appeal that ban that is fair. But there's nothing that legally says a company has to do that. It's just one of those, you know, if I'm going to give a company money, there should be a way to do that. I kind of think about some of the GPS games I've played, like Niantic Games and Ingress. And like, if somebody gets banned from Ingress for like spoofing or breaking the rules or something like that, they should have a mechanism to say, no, I didn't do that, and I want to state my case and so forth, especially if they've spent a lot of money on the game, you know, because even though false bans aren't the norm, it can happen, you know, and even 1% of players getting falsely banned, well, that fucking sucks if you're the 1%. So that's just my example for, like, there should be a mechanism there between the company and the individual, but at the same time, there's nothing legally that says they have to have one. So it's something you have to think about before you spend your money on something like this.
Well, and I want to know what the fuck the dude was doing to get muted anyway. He had to have been doing something wrong. So just – I hate entitled people.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about the next story, which has to do with – ooh, another game subscription service, Logie?
Yeah, so this is interesting. So Paradox, a company that normally makes a lot of these big – Paradox Interactive, they make some bigger PC strategy games that they are working on, you know, putting out like a – that's a lot of stuff. They're testing the waters with like a streaming service, basically – you know, and looking at like some of the DLC that they have for some of these games, it's ridiculous the amount of money that would cost to buy all the DLC. So basically, they haven't really announced the details of the service yet, but apparently some fans of what was it? It was Europa Universalis 4 have found out about the service. Because the game, the code for the trial is in the game's latest update. So maybe this is something that they're going to be announcing soon. But right now, it's not necessarily, they don't know what the details of it are yet.
Now, Phoenix7726 in chat wants to say, to be fair to Paradox, their DLC goes on sale for cheap often, and EU4 is on Humble right now. So it may not necessarily be the sign of this, but I think it does beg the question, because we have seen a lot of companies going down this path, right? We see Xbox Game Pass, we see EA's what the hell do they call that thing? The
EA Access.
EA Access, that's it. Ubisoft has one now too, right? Didn't they launch one? My point being, we all know these different things are out there, right? But in the television movie world, we're having a big conversation about these streaming services, right? Because we got Netflix, we got Hulu, we got CBS All Access, and now what did they just announce this week? They announced, we knew it was coming, but now we've got a date for Peacock, another one that's coming out, right? So, and a lot of people are starting to say, yo, fuck this. Like, there's too many streaming services. I'm going to go back to piracy. So one of the big television stories this past week was Picard came out, right? Now, I haven't watched it yet. I plan to in the coming days. But I wonder, how many of y'all pirated the first episode of Picard because you don't want to subscribe to CBS All Access?
I have not.
But I bet there's – I mean, you don't have to out yourselves. I understand you don't want to, you know, confess that. But I bet there's a lot because they are not interested in anything else on CBS All Access outside of that. So they likely have done that. And so my point is – now we're getting into this gaming. I'm kind of watching what's going on in the movie film world and kind of going like, gaming needs to keep an eye on this too, because what happens if gaming ends up in the same boat? We might be rid of the $60 video game in the next few years if gaming goes down the same route, which I don't think is outside the realm of possibility. Again, Xbox Game Pass. Point. We may be done with the $60 video game in a few years, but are we going to be splintered into way too many different subscription services where it's too hard to, like, you're ending up paying more because you're having to subscribe to all these services? I don't know. How do you guys feel about the subscription service? What would you do if the $60 video game went away, but now you have all these different subscription services? Like, what's the answer here?
I would just have to look at what I'm playing the most of, because, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, like, I have a lot of stuff I play on PC. And so I think that whereas you may have a lot of subscription services on the console side of things, I don't think PC is ever going to go that way. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be which of these services would I get the most use out of. And even still, like, I have a back catalog of games that are in my libraries that, you know, it may be more prudent for me to get, like, an Xbox, you know, Games Pass, you know, subscription, because I haven't gotten the free games from Games with Gold in a long time, because I haven't subscribed to Gold because I don't use my Xbox. But, you know, that might be more beneficial for me. It would just have to depend on what each platform is offering, really.
Y'all are quite the model citizens. I'm reading chat, and you guys are, for the most part, like, saying you did not resort to piracy for this. Bobby Blackwolf says, if I don't want to pay for something, I don't consume the content. I'm not entitled to content. Probably the closest answer we got here, Phoenix7726 says, why pirate when you have free trials and disposable email addresses? Okay, so not piracy, but maybe abusing the system, perhaps. Hype Mayhem says, not me. I want to see it and can't afford CBS All Access, but piracy is a road I won't go down. SG100Matt says, that Harley Quinn show on that DC streaming service is great. I hope it gets a second season, but it's sadly pirated a lot. I didn't even know DC had a streaming service until I read that comment.
Yeah, they do.
See, now there's so many of them, I don't even know what's out there anymore. So what happens if gaming ends up going down this route? I hope we see some interesting alliances form. And, you know, to be fair, Xbox Game Pass seems to be doing a pretty good job of that, where they not only have their own stuff, but they're collecting a lot of different indie stuff, some big third-party stuff on there. And I think that's one thing that Xbox has over EA and Uplay and that type of stuff.
Well, and also with those, I mean, I like how they have all their new games on there. It's a really good value for what you're paying. But, like, at least with the streaming service, since it's month to month for most of that stuff, unless you're prepaying for a bunch of it, I mean, if for whatever reason, if it ends up going the way of, like, Netflix, where, you know, content leaves, content comes in, you know, if it doesn't have what you're interested in at that time, just stop subscribing to it. Or, you know, $10 a month, honestly, when you're looking at games and, like, how many games you buy, like, that's not a huge, or even, like, $15 a month is not a huge, that's, like, a game every 4 months. That really, when you look at it, you're probably spending more on games anyways, and so you're getting a lot more content here. But at the same time, like, I don't want to get caught in the, you know, whereas I have, like, I'm paying for Hulu, Netflix, and Disney Plus right now, but am I consuming a lot of that content? Nah, you know, it's just nice to have.
What about when you weigh your family into it? Like, do your kids consume Disney Plus even if you don't?
Nah, we watch the Star Wars movies on it sometimes. I'm trying to get them to go through the whole Marvel series, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but, like, that's going to be, like, pulling teeth. It's hard enough to get them to go through Star Wars, but they're finally getting caught up on Star Wars so that I can take them to see the new one in the theaters. But, like, you know, like, with Hulu, we watch a lot of Food Network stuff on there. Like, it's just chopped all the time. That's what we watch on there. And Netflix is, like, kind of a smorgasbord of, like, also a lot of their original series stuff. A lot of just some of the unique content on there.
I hate to admit it, but The Circle was so fucking good. It's such trash, but it was so good. As far as, like, trashy reality TV shows go, it really was one of the better ones. Like, the people they cast were not, like that's the problem I have with Big Brother these days. They're casting horrific people. Like, it's just there's never anyone to root for anymore on that show or anything. But, like, The Circle was like, okay, some of you all are, like, very clearly, like, these little, like, niche things, but, like, I really liked the people. Like, they
so
weren't
now
assholes.
I'm just going to I don't know what the circle. I mean, I've seen the stupid trailer. I watched it. I'm like, is this something we're gonna watch? And my wife's like, no, let's watch Chopped.
It's Big Brother meets that one episode of Black Mirror where you rate everybody. That's what it is.
So, but like, they can just lie about who they are and stuff like that
because they never see each other. So what happens? They're all playing in their own apartment rooms. So they're all living in this big apartment complex, and they all live in their own apartments, and they only interact through this television thing that's the circle. There's no camera there. It's just like chatting and stuff. So, like, for example, and I won't spoil anything because this is in the very first episode. One of the guys going in is playing as his girlfriend, because he thinks that he'll have an easier time meeting and connecting with people as a woman. So he does this and playing as a girlfriend and does a really good job at the catfish through the whole thing. Whereas there's another guy that is playing as like a younger, hotter version of himself who kind of screws it up, like is not very good at being a catfish. So it's just kind of interesting to see how that all works out. And then the twist is, when one of them – they have to rank everybody, how they like everybody. And then, you know, like I think it's like the top two get to kick somebody else out. They get to block somebody. So when somebody gets kicked out of the show, on their way out, they get to go to somebody's apartment and meet one person face to face. And so like in the case of like one, there was like a romantic connection thing going on. And like they met and they found out, oh, my God, you really are you. And they like – they ended up making out and stuff because they're like, you're hot. You're hot. Oh, my God. I'm so happy. And so they did that whole thing. But then there were other circumstances where, like, I want to go meet this person. And when they went, they were not who they said they were. And it was like, oh, my, like, what the hell were you doing type of thing. And, like, that person had to explain their reasons on why they did it. And so it's
interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. But I will agree with Bobby Blackwolf, who says the only good reality show was The Mole with Anderson Cooper. Honestly, I wouldn't say it was the only good one, but it was by far the best one. There will never be a better reality-based competition show than The Mole, specifically when Anderson Cooper was the host. Absolutely correct. So I would have loved it. Like, that was the show I would want to be on more than anything. Anyway. All right. It was like James Bond is a TV show. But anyway, let's move on. Okay. I get excited when trashy reality shows come up. There's a real big season of Survivor coming up, right? That show has been on so fucking long. You ready for this? The next season of Survivor is a bunch of people who have already won the show competing to win again. And now the prize is $2 million. And that's the whole catch. So it's but
was the previous prize $1 million?
Yeah, $1 million. But now you've already won $1 million, but you've never won $2 million. This is the biggest prize in reality history. I don't know some of those things. But a lot of the longtime fans of the show are like, these are the best of the best people getting to play. So it's like the true all stars. Anyway, enough of that. Back to games. All right, Nintendo Switch, an interesting patent that was filed for the Nintendo Switch, a patent application that went to the United States Patent and Trademark Office. You can't always read too much into these because sometimes companies are piloting things that they end up never actually releasing. For example, what was the thing for the Wii? The Pulse thing on the Wii.
Vitality sensor.
The Vitality sensor.
That's a little bit different because they actually showed that off, I think.
They did. But, you know, it didn't actually happen at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, and the Zapper looked different too.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So some of these things get so far along, some of them don't. But what's interesting about this is that, you know, it's kind of a stylus, but not really. It's a touch pen attachment that slides into the side of a Joy-Con and works with the controller. So you don't put this on your Switch and use it like on the Switch. What you do, once you've taken the controller out, you put the pen in the controller. And so you have the controller, but then you just flip it upside down. You have a pen. So it turns your controller into both. Kind of interesting. Have the stylus plan with that. So that is what the patent basically says. Apparently, the Joy-Con will vibrate when the pen comes into contact with an on-screen object. So you could have, oh, my God, what was that game? And it was the Incredible Maze. Or so. What was the maze game?
Irritating Maze.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Darkstalker, I feel like you've brought this up on the show before. It was an arcade game where you had like a big stick and you had to move through a maze.
Irritating Stick?
Is that Irritating Stick.
Yeah,
that is it. Irritating Stick. That's... I feel like this attachment could get us an appropriate port of Irritating Stick. Everybody in chat is yelling out the name. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm thinking this could do, is it could give us a proper port of Irritating Stick. Anyway, But it's also pointed out this could be great for things like Super Mario Maker 2's course creator and things like that. So I think this would be neat. Ooh, somebody spoke it into the universe that this would be perfect to bring back Elite Beat Agents if they wanted to do that. Yes.
Mario Paint.
Ooh, or, you know, there's a variety of
Nintendo. Although that doesn't look, I don't know if there's enough detail. I don't know. just make stylus support. I mean, that's all you need to do.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of already supports stylus. I mean, it doesn't specifically support stylus, but, like, we know there's a Brain Age game that just released in Japan. There's been that, what was it, Vox or something like that? You had to play it on the touchpad, like a music game that came out kind of early on.
Yeah.
You know, this seems like a very logical step, but a very Nintendo way to do it is, like, it's not just a pen. It's a pen that goes with your Joy-Con, so you can have a vibrating pen. Just what you need. Thank you. It's Voize, V-O-E-Z, or Voz.
I don't like putting those additional things on the Joy-Cons because I find that they're so hard to take off. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully it's a very easy way to release it. All right, anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura, another real world kind of story.
That's how I roll.
This is fascinating.
Kinda. And I even wonder if part of this happened just out of coincidence, but there's a little bit more to it than what's listed in the article. So after the advent of the coronavirus, which is basically that big virus that's pretty much infecting a lot of China right now. We've had two reported cases in the U.S. and nine
people.
Is
that the one that they shut down, like, Shanghai Disney or something for?
Something, yeah. And there's, I think, nine people in Alameda that are being tested.
Do people die from this?
Yeah, there's been deaths.
But not always. It's like a really bad...
It's like West Nile level.
Like swine flu when it first hit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well... Didn't I have swine flu?
You did, and I did too, but we didn't get it at first.
Yeah.
But, you know, remember...
I didn't know I had swine flu when I had swine flu. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give it to you.
No, it's fine. But, you know, early on, because, you know, I knew somebody that passed away from it, and it was horrible. She was only 24. But my point is, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories, but I'm just... I remember that, like, certain people, but as the strain got weaker, it wasn't so bad. Like, I'm just curious, like, how serious is this?
It's pretty serious right now.
I've heard this is a thing, but I didn't know, like, you get it, you're dead, or if...
I don't think if you get it, you're dead, but you're going to be out of commission for a while. Okay. I feel really, a little bit worried for my friend who I hung out with today is going to Thailand in a week or so. So, at any rate, there has been an uptick in people playing Plague Inc., which is a real-time strategy game that has you releasing a pathogen... and making it spread to pretty much destroy humanity. It's a very kind of black humor type of game.
Oh, that's kind of morbid, but that's how some people cope.
And it came out in 2012, and you pick your pathogen, and you decide how to transmit it, and blah, blah, blah. You know, you start off with patient zero, and to quote the description of the title, now you must bring about the end of human history by evolving a deadly global plague whilst adapting against anything humanity can do to defend itself, or everything, sorry. At any rate, they have actually repeated on their Twitter from Endemic Creations that their servers for multiplayer and custom scenarios are trying to keep up with the high number of players. And the funny thing is, someone happened to post it maybe a few days ago that Steam was having a sale for Plague Inc. And it could have just been a coincidence.
The sale's probably a coincidence. Those things have to be planned out in advance a little bit, but the popularity probably isn't.
As of right now, well, as of this, the details I'm looking at, the coronavirus was detected in Wuhan. It infected more than 1,300 people and killed over 40, with cases confirmed in all over Asia, U.S., Europe, and Australia.
Bobby Blackwolf is also pointing out that with Lunar New Year, Steam is doing a lunar sale right now. Everything's on sale. So that's a very good point that Lunar New Year probably comes into play there.
But one thing that Endemic pretty much said is that they said that the game shouldn't replace a scientific understanding of the illness, that it's just a game, not a scientific model. So please don't use this to track how you think the virus would spread.
Fascinating. But it does kind of bring up the interesting fascination that, like, you know, some of these things that video games have brought have actually been studied. And, like, you know, my brain goes to the early version of World of Warcraft. Remember when they had that event?
Where that was people, pretty crazy.
Yeah. So if you... this is news to you, like there was like an in-game plague type of thing, basically.
Hold on.
when you went and fought one of the bosses, you would get like a plague, and like it would eventually like sap your health and could eventually kill you. And some people were actually trolling and running to big cities to spread this plague, and like this whole event was studied by real life disease.
Epidemiologists
see like what would happen potentially if this like a big outbreak happened.
So this was published on September 27th, 2005, about the virus like effects of the thing. I'm trying to see what the name
quickly,
of the thing
quickly,
was.
Questbuster says the corrupted blood plague.
Corrupted blood. That was it.
Warcraft. Thank you. That's
and it was called by the demon Hakkar. So yeah. I kind of, that was like after I quit one of the first times, but yeah, it was a Zul'Gurib one. Interesting. Yeah. But I mean, at any rate, I agree. Plague Inc. is a game. Don't use it to track like real epidemiology, especially since they have like a nanovirus that can infect your brain in it. Those don't exist. You know, nano machines in your brain. Not right now. Not yet. But at any rate, It is rather interesting just how kind of like those things kind of go hand in hand. And maybe it's how people are dealing with it. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about, I guess, somewhat some less serious news. But people are taking this very seriously still, what's happening here. It's
yeah, definitely.
Kind of big news in the gaming
so
world.
So Activision is moving to YouTube to air their major competition. So, for example, they're going to... start airing the Overwatch League on YouTube. So basically now they said YouTube will host the official live broadcasts of Activision Blizzard's popular sports esports leagues and events, including the newly created Call of Duty League, Overwatch League, and Hearthstone esports. So yeah, it's interesting that they are moving over to that platform. I'm wondering what kind of money they threw at them for that. But yeah, I wonder what this means necessarily for Twitch. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't really watch these normally, so it means nothing to me.
Once in a while, especially the first year when I was playing more Overwatch, I haven't really played Overwatch in a while, but when I was playing it more often, especially because it would be in the Blizzard launcher, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'll check it out. And they would actually tie for a short time. They tied, like, if you watch the stream, you might get in-game rewards.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of, and I imagine that might still be a thing. They're just going to tie it to your Google
account. I don't
know
if they have that
something.
For YouTube, though, if, like, that works.
I don't know either, but we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really often on YouTube seeking out live game stream content.
No.
Like, I go to YouTube because somebody linked a funny one on Twitter or something. Like, I don't really watch a lot of YouTube. Which, by the way, speaking of funny stuff, I don't know if you guys heard that Vine is essentially back, but it's got a new name called Byte. Just throwing it out there because I made a Byte account. I don't know.
Oh, I saw that you did that. I was like, what social media platform is this?
It's the 6-second video thing again. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff. Anyway.
They couldn't stand seeing TikTok take off and
kinda. I think that's part of it actually.
Like, damn it. Yeah. Shouldn't have closed it down.
But honestly, like sometimes when I was on Twitch, I would see, oh, Overwatch League is streaming. I'll go, you know, maybe watch a little bit of that because, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch video games as sports sometimes. But the point is, I probably am not going to go to YouTube to seek this out. So, like, for me, it's going to be a loss. I'm not going to end up watching as much of it as I would have on Twitch. I understand money talks and all that, but I don't know. Twitch was always, to me, a better environment for that. But I understand they had a contract. Contract was up. They didn't pony up the money to renew it, so they went somewhere else. That's business. But it'll be interesting to see if it maintains the type of numbers over on YouTube. So
yeah.
But, you know, to be fair, YouTubes are also incredibly easy to link into and things like that, even when live. So they might just put it, like, right in the launcher, just embed the YouTube, and you can kind of watch the live events right there. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see that. So, all right. Moving on, talking a little bit about something else to look forward to in 2020, and that is more game streaming. different types of streaming. One of them is streaming your console to a device. And this is something that you can preview now if you have an Xbox and you are in the Xbox Insider program. You can actually play with streaming Xbox game to an Android phone and tablet. So you do have to have an Android device that runs Marshmallow or higher, and you have to have a Bluetooth Xbox One controller and, of course, a fast home network to be able to stream things through. But if you have all that, you can test that now, streaming from your device to your phone and using your Bluetooth controller to play. So that could be very interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know. Maybe Alan has an Android device. Maybe his tablet runs more. I should see if his tablet will do it. But I also kind of feel like if it's within my house, I'm just going to play it on my Xbox or my PC. I don't really have a need for this myself. But when they start opening it up to, through the magic of, 4G and LTE, and someday 5G will be fast enough for it, it'll be interesting to see what this is like when it's on the go anywhere.
So, it'll be cool, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's that end of streaming, so there's that. And then there's also xCloud, which is kind of like the Stadia model, where you're playing on someone else's in the cloud, and then that's coming to down to your TV. Microsoft is going to be expanding Project xCloud into Canada. The testing will start in Canada on January 29th, and you can actually register to try that if you want. And if you're in the program, you'll have access to over 50 games through an Android phone or tablet. So again, you have to be using the Android device because that's what Microsoft is testing with. I imagine everything else will roll out slowly later on. So that's kind of neat that is expanding, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what more streaming brings in the year 2020. So, all right. Well, let's go back to a simpler time. We're going to take a trip down memory lane when you couldn't stream video games. You know, you had to have the cartridge.
You kind of could.
But, yeah, I was going to say there's Sega. Was it SegaNet or whatever?
I guess you're right.
Sega Channel.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And actually, I think tonight, Dark Sakura has stepped into the gaming vault and found a game. And she does this sometimes. So the qualifications is a game has to be 10 years or older to qualify for
this. And I looked on the list and this wasn't done.
You know why it wasn't done? Because it's like 11 years. No, it's not. I think in the U.S., I think it's 10 years old this month.
Yeah.
And so I definitely had a note of like, this is one of those selections tonight where you're going to go, shit, it's that
I'm
old.
I'm so old.
I'm so old. Like, I remember talking about this game on early
Time
OR.
Waits for no one.
That's right. So
remember, thou art mortal.
Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week?
Bayonetta. Because it's fucking Bayonetta, and I love Bayonetta. So at any rate, the game came out in Japan. It was in October 2009 on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It was developed by Platinum Games and published by Sega. It later got a Wii U release along with Bayonetta 2 in September 2014 in Japan and worldwide the next month. There's an enhanced port for Windows that came on out in April 2017 with 4K, and a Switch release along with Bayonetta 2, and a third game is in development set to release on the Switch as well. And apparently there's going to be another release of Bayonetta along with Vanquish on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One next month. So Bayonetta takes place in a fictional European city called Vigrid, and she is a witch. Well, technically, it's not a spoiler by now. She is the child of a Lumen Sage and an Umbra Witch. So, and she is in possession of one of the eyes of God or something. I always forget the name like for this stuff. But anyway, it's got a really kind of convoluted storyline. But she does magic and shoots things and uses her hair for a lot of her magic. It functions a lot like Devil May Cry. I think it was actually built on the same engine, and it was had the same creator, Kamiya Hideki. So you basically run around hacking and slashing and shooting things with gun and kicking people with giant high heel boots made out of a demon from another dimension that you open with your hair, and just kicking a bunch of ass. There was even an anime, which I watched the anime. It was really, really fun. You also have some special commands, including torture attacks, where you can do like pretty hardcore damage, and you get chainsaws, Iron Maidens. It's pretty crazy. And she also has Witch Time that lets you dodge attacks. It slows down time as well for extra attacks. She has double jumps and backflips and getting rid of background objects and doing door things. You know, very interactive. And then you have different chapters with different verses in them as you're going through fighting all of these angels. And you also have a mini game called Angel Attack, where you can use arcade bullets that you find through the level to shoot the angels and earn points. And you can trade them in for items or trade them in for halos.
And that one dude, I don't know his name, but in the game, but he sounds a lot like Joe Pesci. That's the one takeaway they had from this.
I don't think I've actually played it in English. Come to think
that
of it.
That dude right there.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like Joe Pesci.
Yeah, I don't think I've played this in English. Anyway, your difficulties are very easy, easy, normal, hard, and nonstop, infinite climax. I just think that that's a fun name. As far as, you know, the various characters, you have Bayonetta herself. You have a child that she meets. Which I'm not going to say any more about the child, because, again, if you've played it, you played it. If not, you haven't. There's another character named Luca. There is Bayonetta's rival, Jean. There's Rodan, who is, like, her armorer. There's Enzo, the informant. He's the one that sounds like Joe Pesci. And the little girl's name's Cereza, but... again, we go back into that later. At any rate, it kind of borrows a little bit from the Divine Comedy, if you've noticed, where it's named, the various settings are named after the books for the Divine Comedy, Paradiso, Purgatorio, and Inferno. I don't know why I can't think of having ever... maybe I'm thinking of the anime, because that's the last Bayonetta thing that I looked at, so I didn't remember the English voices. Anyway. But at any rate, the way that you beat the game, though, is so over the top and extra that I still can't get over it. You literally punch the soul out of God and into the sun. Spoilers. At any rate, the game was meant to be fashionable and meant to be a little sexy. And it really kind of focused on that very high style. And then, of course, when it came to creating the characters, their whole point... Kamiya said that the characters were... that Jean, the one that he came up with, was supposed to be his ideal woman. I'm like, okay, but... okay, eye candy. And that he actually took from a little bit of Scandinavian mythology, and that he named Bayonetta's guns after the Scarborough Fair ballad, with her guns being named Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme. But at any rate, the whole game was just meant to be sexy. Very, very, very sexy. And fun. And it is a very fun game with a really weird freaking... really weird freaking storyline, especially when you get to Bayonetta 2, and it's kind of a weird post prequel on the level of the Homestuck Dancesters type concept. But I mean, there were just so many things that came out afterward. There was like a Bayonetta theme for Chrome. There's a song called Reaping Beauty by MC Lars. I love MC Lars. That was inspired by Bayonetta. All kind of, there's like a 150 song 5 CD soundtrack for the game, and then there's another one that came with pre-orders of the game called Rodan Selection, and then there's like just all this stuff. I mean, it's all crazy. And then of course there was the anime that came out at Bayonetta Bloody Fate, which for me, I have that on my iTunes account. I'll just pull that up and watch it whenever because it's really fun. But it was really, really well received. Famitsu gave it, for the 360, a 40 out of 40. The PS3 version got a 38 out of 40, but still, like, that's Famitsu giving it a 40 out of 40, which is pretty...
An Xbox game at that. That's unheard of in Japan.
Yep. And I guess the PlayStation 1 had a few other issues with it, like for control. I have to dig deeper, because, I mean, it was criticized for having a lesser visual quality, frame rate, and control problems compared to the Xbox 360 version. I remember that the control had been part of it. But yeah, it was like an instant classic. And there you have it. Bayonetta. Which, also watching the Bayonetta 2 speedrun at AGDQ, pretty freaking rad. So there you go.
I'm excited for part 3.
Yeah.
But well, man, I was hoping we'd get a new trailer for
that. The story got extra convoluted with Bayonetta 2, just saying.
All right. And I loved this comment actually made me laugh from a Nifty805 in our chat, who usually says funny shit in our chat. Nifty805 says, Bayonetta could totally host a night at Hamburger Mary's.
Mm.
I mean, Bayonetta is kind of like a drag icon. Like, Bayonetta is like a bio queen, basically. I mean, that's, and to be fair, Jean Valjean is totally that as well.
Huh?
Who's the
Jean Valjean was from Les Mis.
I was reading. I have my eyes on the
Witch
Jean.
What?
Yes, fuck? not the Les Mis character.
J-E-A-N-N-E, Jean.
Jean, sorry.
Was That's she like prisoner number or something?
As I'm saying things aloud.
Jean Valjean.
But anyway,
Monsieur Le Maire, or would it be Madame Le Maire?
But anyway, they are totally bio queens, and you know, Lady Gaga has tweeted about Bayonetta and how much she loves it, and you know, it's kind of funny.
Oh, it's a good game.
Yeah, it is. All right, there it is. Classic game of the week. A real classic there.
Oh, one Bayonetta. Other thing, too, is that there's just all kinds of references to other Sega games in there, too. Like, you have the part where you're riding on the plane.
That was, we just had the car sequence that has, I think, Outrun music that was playing in the background. Yeah.
So the game actually spawned three different climax mixes. One of them was for Afterburner, one of them was for Outrun. And there was another one that I can't think of off the top of my head, but yeah, there were the and they were called the climax mixes. So there you go.
All right, good choice, Bayonetta.
Oh, and thank you, Seattle Berry. The prisoner number was 24601.
Yes, yes. Of course I remember Les Mis. Anyway, the film was the same guy that did Cats, Darth Sakura. It was Les Mis and Cats were the same director. So.
And Cats was brilliant.
And that's part of the reason why I wanted to see Cats, because I loved Les Mis. But anyway.
And Cats was brilliant.
Moving on to rapid fire news and talking about some things quickly that are happening in the gaming world. Lots of other headlines. Loki.
Since we were talking about Animal Crossing earlier, it's only fair to mention Stardew Valley, which has reached the 10 million milestone for copies sold. And it's still going pretty strong. It's out on all major platforms nowadays. And might even, I don't know, who knows where it's going to go as far as sales goes. But I know, I was talking to one of my coworkers the other day, and they mentioned that they're playing Stardew Valley quite a bit. And I never pegged him to be a Stardew Valley type of guy. But yeah, it's interesting. And then we've got... the news that Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution is going to be headed to Netflix on February 27th. Apparently, the movie, this was the CGI.
Is this just a remake of the first movie?
This was a CGI remake of the first movie, yeah.
Okay. I'll take things I really didn't need for $500.
Apparently,
but
it was really good, though.
The first movie was cute, but I'm all right, whatever. I'll check out the new one on Netflix. Why not? I already subscribed to Netflix anyways.
Exactly.
I'll check it out. So, all right. Moving on, let's talk about the Mortal Kombat Collection online. This was something that was in development, but then they canceled the project. But now, apparently, a PS4 version has been rated. So maybe it came back. Maybe it got uncanceled. Who knows what happened with all that. But there's, the definite spotting of this out in the wild. This is going to be the upgraded trilogy. So it's the original trilogy, but they've upgraded all the graphics to HD. So it's a little different than the Mortal Kombat Collection that already exists out there, because there is like arcade port one. But this was, no, they were going to go back and redo everything, widescreen, HD, and all that, and redo the sprites. And so that's kind of interesting. Yeah, so we don't know anything else at this time. We don't even know if it's actually legit happening or something really weird that came through or what, but there it is. Mortal Kombat Collection Online. Stay tuned. We may have more on that. Something else to stay tuned for. I know I'm excited about this release. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition for the Switch. Remember, this was the game that you really couldn't get on the Wii unless you went to GameStop years after it had already been out in Europe. But yeah, so a lot of people kind of miss this one, but it's definitely one I want to check out when it releases on the Switch. And apparently a retailer has listed the game for the 29th of May. It was a Swedish website that did that. We're just waiting for Nintendo to confirm it. Maybe they'll announce a Direct in the coming months. There has to be a Direct before Animal Crossing that's going to do a deep dive on Animal Crossing, and I imagine might go over some of these releases for the next few months. But, you know, I don't think that Direct is going to happen as soon as next week, but maybe in February at some point. So that's what I got. Dark Sakura.
Well, for one thing, looks like that Soul Calibur 6 is getting another DLC character, which is Haomaru, who is also from the Samurai Showdown series. So he's going to be joining in there along with a few other characters. And another one that, for me, I really think deserves a lot more gravitas than being a rapid-fire thing is the Riot Games lawsuit with a re-evaluation of the case and how much the women have lost with gender harassment and income disparity. Instead of being paid out $10 million as part of the settlement, they're pushing for it to be $400 million, which is in line with how much time, money, and stress that they've been put under based on their employers. They reached a preliminary lawsuit settlement in December, and they were waiting for it to be approved, but then two more state agencies weighed in, and on a document for January 8th, the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing said the women of Riot Games could be entitled to over $400 million in potential back pay based on wage differential between men and women at the company, excluding any additional penalties based on those calculations. And this is, you know, considering from October 2018, they're adding that non-monetary terms of the settlement were inadequate. In writing, it says no enforceable changes to employment policies at a company alleged to be rife with sexism were part of the settlement and should be included in the settlement. So,
all right. I only slotted it here because it's not finalized and it's a follow-up. So, but we'll see. We'll keep our eyes on it and see what happens in coming weeks. So something that could potentially have big ramifications to the gaming industry as a whole, but definitely, you know, it's
and Riot's trying to defame.
Needs to happen.
Is trying to defame the whole the DFEH by saying that they're filing with inaccuracies and false allegations, but and they say, oh, we've tried to make things diverse and inclusive. No. Not if what other people are saying is true. No, you haven't. No, not at all. So, and of course, with all those exposés out, you know, I'm really glad that their ass is being handed to them. So,
all right. It'll be interesting to see if there's any others that come out. I mean, I would hope not, but there's that realist in me that says it's coming. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want it to be true, but you know in the back of your mind it probably is, right? So, we'll see what happens. All right. Moving on, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates coming out to a store near you in various regions. Starting with the U.S., Loki.
We've got Journey to the Savage Planet on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Kentucky Route Zero TV Edition on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Warcraft 3 Reforged on PC and Mac. And
oh, yeah, that's finally happening.
Yeah, it is. And last but not least, Hypercharge Unboxed on PC and Nintendo Switch.
All right. Traveling over to Japan and checking out some of the releases on Nintendo Switch. River Dune Manege. I hope it's in, it's like got a French accent thing going on. I have no idea. What is that game? Now I'm curious. But that is on the release for the Nintendo Switch. And I'm still waiting for that to load. Tell me more about this game. Oh, it looks... Oh, it's one of those, like, manga wedding... Oh, it's the French word for dreaming of a carousel. And it's about a traveling circus.
Who dreams of carousels? Seriously, that's boring.
Maybe when I have a scary dream. Anyway, that huge two-story one at Great America truly frightening. Anyway, other Japanese releases coming to Nintendo Switch. The Kemco RPG Selection Volume 1. That's pretty cool. That sounds like a bunch of like retro releases of old Kemco games. Ooh, it is. It's As Divine Hearts, Revenant Saga, Antiqua Lost, and Dragon Sinker. That's pretty cool. Old school JRPGs. Also on the Switch, we have Coffee Talk. No, it is not with Linda Richman. It's just a game called Coffee Talk. What is this? Is this another anime-based game? The main character, she's got green hair. She has some coffee. Tales of People from an Alternative Seattle, a city where elves, orcs, mermaids, and many other fantasy races live together with humans in a modern world we all find familiar. Sorry, but I can't. If Mike Myers isn't in it with that big hair, I can't. The Nintendo Switch. It's neither Nintendo nor a Switch. Discuss.
That was supposed to be his mother-in-law at the time.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Linda Richman was based off of his mother.
Got it.
His mother-in-law.
AO Tennis 2 is also coming out on the Nintendo Switch. On the PlayStation 4, the Kemco RPG Selection Volume 3 is out on the PlayStation 4. I'm assuming previous volumes have already been released there, as well as Coffee Talk is also being released there. And Boku Tojoi no Shinsatsu Nishi is coming out in regular and a limited edition type of game. And that is a game where the character has just finished medical school and is now an intern at the hospital, but this doesn't look like Trauma Center. This looks like Grey's Anatomy to me. Just saying. So there you go. Those are the Japanese releases. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Oh, just a handful. On the 27th, which is already now in Europe, I think, is Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. On the 29th, we have AO Tennis 2. On the 30th, we have Heroland Noble Edition. We have Blair Witch. Also, Journey to the Savage Planet and Ash of God's Redemption.
All right. So that does it for the release dates around the world. Usually at this part of the show, we would go into our mailbag because you can email us every week at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. But I believe the mailbag came up empty tonight, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
crickets.
If you remember, the punishment for no emails is Drag Race talk. But here's the interesting thing. You can say briefly about this because they just announced the new cast of season 12.
I only paid attention to two of them.
I'm kind of burned out on Drag Race. This might surprise you guys, but I'm a little burned out. I'm not going to be doing Reading is Fundamental podcast this year. I've already talked to the guys about that. And it's nothing. They're all wonderful. I love those guys to bits, but just I don't want to talk about that show for another year.
There's some good names on here, though.
Yeah, no, and it's not about the talent that's on the show. It's the best thing about the show is it introduces you to new people. But Dark Soccer, quickly, who are the two that you're rooting for?
The two that I'm rooting for is Rock'em Sakura, just because that's funny, and it's a San Francisco queen. And I am also really, really happy about Sherry Pie. Sherry Pie I've followed on the Instagrams and things for a little while now. Just seems like a quality person, very talented queen. And Rock'em Sakura is, like I said, San Francisco girl. We have to support our locals.
Who is the one, if you remember, because I did – JD really likes this one and made me watch the video, and I liked her too. The one that's she's Iranian-Canadian, I think, but lives in the U.S. now. And she had, like, her look was very, like, Iranian-inspired that she showed. She was really...
So I'll read...
I liked her.
The names. We definitely have an artsy one, Aiden Zane. And then
Aiden Zane is from Ackworth, Georgia, and I thought of Bobby Blackwolf when I saw that.
And then we have... just the names this season are great. Britta Filter from New York. Of course we've got New York queens. We have... who's this next one? Crystal Method. M-E-T-H-Y-D from Springfield, Missouri. We have Dahlia Sin from L.A., who I actually think I ran into at DragCon. We have Gigi Good from L.A. We have Heidi in Closet. This is the best name, from North Carolina. Also, we have Jackie Cox from NYC, another fucking New York queen.
Maybe that, I think that is... who I'm thinking of.
Let me go back and look.
I think it's Jackie Cox.
Doesn't say in the bio.
Oh, well, it's fine.
But anyway, I'll just go ahead and read through the names quickly. There's Jada Essence Hall from Minneapolis. We have Jan Sport. That makes me think of my backpacks in high school. We have Nikki Doll, another New York Queens. We have Rock'em Sakura, who already I'm super happy about.
Definitely
Sherry Pie, though.
And definitely a gamer girl. Just saying. Yeah. Rock'em Sakura is absolutely a gamer girl.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've been on her Insta for a little while, too.
Cool.
I'm excited about Sherry Pie as well, who is just like classic drag. We also have...
She's kind of like the Miss Kasha Davis Pandora Box type. Yeah.
We have Widow Von Due from Kansas City. Yeah, and that's them. Very, right. Very clever group. I mean, I have to... When we've got a San Francisco queen after so long, I feel I have to watch.
All right. All right. There it is. Send us emails to avoid Drag Race talk next week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
Unless you just like see me tortured every week.
Well, I might have to think of a new stunt because I don't really plan to watch it. So, I mean, I'll probably not be able to avoid
Are you caught up on The Good Place? Because there's only two episodes left or one episode left.
I need to get caught up on that. So, we'll
see. I have two episodes. Well, I think I have the... second to last episode, and then the last episode, thanks this week.
All right. Well, let's move on. We have some more video game stories for you guys, and then we'll open up Discord to see if anybody wants to call in tonight over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Loki, I think
so it's been a while since we talked about this, but you may remember there was a company, iLife Technologies, who was claiming that the Wii Remote infringed upon several of its patents. This was back in 2017. They found, apparently in Texas, they found that the company, they awarded them, I guess, $10.1 million for that. However, apparently Nintendo has successfully overturned that lawsuit. So they're not going to be responsible for the $10 million. Overall, it says Claim 1 encompasses a sensor that senses data, a processor that processes data, and the communications device that communicates data. No further inventive concept is recited to transform the abstract idea into a patent-eligible invention. So basically saying that, you know, what they patented was... not really worthwhile. So, interesting. Basically, Nintendo, of course, saying that Nintendo has a long history of developing new, unique products, and we are pleased that after many years of litigation, the court agreed with Nintendo. We will continue to vigorously defend our products against companies seeking to profit off the technology they did not invent. Fair enough. Just so you know, companies, if you're going to sue Nintendo, they will keep suing until they
Nintendo
win.
Nintendo is a litigious company. I can never say that word. Litigious company.
Litigious
company. They will definitely defend themselves in court. Absolutely. And we all know they love their cease and desist to protect their intellectual property, which, you know, as much as you can say Nintendo is the bad guy for that, they kind of, you know, they have to do it.
I think in
this
case, though, like, I don't think this is sounds like more of like a patent troll company. That they're trying to get a piece of that Nintendo money, but didn't work out for them.
Yeah. Also the fact that we're just now talking about a Wii Remote settlement, I think also shows like how long these things fucking take in the court.
Well, 2017 is when they had that judgment, which means the court case probably started in 2016. I mean, it's been a long time.
All right. Well, moving on to talking about Niantic and some of their real world events, because, they do the big Pokemon Go thing, which was a huge flop the first year, but it got a lot better in subsequent years. I've talked about Ingress events on this show before. I've attended several of them in person myself. And Niantic has announced some of their plans for the next year. Turns out Pokemon Go events not just going to be happening in Chicago. They had spread out to these Safari Zone events in other places as well. But, you know, as far as like the U.S. too, we weren't really seeing a lot of stuff outside Chicago, or really that would be North America, honestly. Well, now we're starting to see a little more. I mean, it's not going to be everywhere, but we're seeing some more stuff spreading out with Pokemon Go. There's going to be an event that coincides with the Taiwan Lantern Festival from February 6th to the 9th. There will be a Safari Zone event in St. Louis from March 27th to 29th. Liverpool will get the Safari Zone event as well in April. And then there will be a Philadelphia Safari Zone from May 8th through May 10th. Harry Potter Wizards Unite will also be having another fan festival. They had one last year in, I think it was Indianapolis. It was somewhere I would have never thought, like a big city, but that's where they did it. They have not said the date or the location yet for Harry Potter, but they're just saying we will be doing something again. And then, of course, for Ingress has their own events as well. They have what's called the Perpetua Hexathlon that's happening on February 29th. I'm not going because I have a conflict. I think the closest one to here, you can either go 9 hours south to Tijuana or you can go 9 hours to the east to Salt Lake City. Although most people I know are going to San Antonio for that. So weird, but okay, that's the city they're going to, which is fine. And that's happening on February 29th. Lexicon Hexathlon is happening on April 25th. That's going to be in San Francisco, so that'll be easy for us to go to. And then there will also be the Requiem Anomaly in Munich on May 9th, which I would like to see more anomalies as opposed to hexathlons. I get that Ingress is trying to do some different things, but I'm very disappointed to see there's only one anomaly in the first 6 months of the year, and it's not even in this country. And it's just like, it's completely not something I'm going to be able to attend. So that's a bummer. But that's happening on May 9th. Also, some of the economic information about how these events have been doing. $249 million in tourism for revenue across Chicago, Dortmund, and Montreal for some of the events have taken place previously.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So pretty cool. So Niantic's real-world events will continue to grow, I am sure. So, all right. And HackDef says, come to Tijuana. I would have given it some serious thought, but again, that conflicts with the Star Trek cruise, sadly. So I will be completely out of that event. And that's what happens with these real-world events sometimes. They're just the wrong fucking day, so I can't do them, even if it was, like, right here in my backyard. So, all right. Anyway, moving on. Dark Sakura with an interesting video game story.
Well, and you know me. I like to tie things in on, you know, the real world. So there has been an application to the FDA for a video game to be prescribed. And the video game specifically is marketed for kids with ADHD. They haven't gotten a green light on it yet. They filed in 2018. The startup company is Akili Interactive Labs, and they submitted for a game that they're making. Hold on, let me see about getting the name on it here. Project Evo? At least it's what it... Yeah. From an early version of the game. Is supposed to help with helping kids focus. They say it's taking a very long time for it. They haven't gotten any momentum on it, but they're thinking that it's going to be something that's going to help a lot of kids in need. So I hope so. It would certainly set an interesting precedence, wouldn't it?
What kind of game is it?
Let's see. It's played on a tablet and it sends players through landscapes like a lava river or a snowscape, rewards you with stars and points as you finish tasks. So it's to quote this here, it's the video game as a delivery system for targeted algorithms that can activate certain neural networks in the brain. So it's meant to trigger, I guess, neuron building. It's pretty interesting. And they're hoping that once that it's been approved, that they'll be able to, again, market it as a prescription subscription.
Huh. That's fascinating. I've never heard of, like, the idea of video games through prescription, though. It makes a lot of sense. It's just, like, it's not for me. It's not something to pick up on Steam. It's not something to go just get a store. It's, like, it has a very specific purpose, which is, like, adjacent to edutainment. Mm-hmm. But I think that's also a really unfair thing to compare it to. But I don't know what other bucket to, like, put it in.
Well, another ADHD specialist who is not associated with the company at all says that there's a great demand for non-pharmacological interventions. And this quote says, a product that can help to remediate cognitive issues that children with ADHD are experiencing would be, I think, very helpful and popular with families really trying to go through cognitive therapies instead of just drugging kids.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf actually points out that there's another game that is available via prescription. I never heard of this. There's a VR game that you can get via prescription. It's called, and he mentions the name is changed to Vivid Vision, and it helps fix lazy eye. It is only available by prescription for amblyopia. I'm sorry, I hope I'm saying that right.
That's lazy eye.
Yeah, lazy eye, basically. Yeah. That's fascinating. I never knew that. I knew like video games, obviously, because we've had the stories on the show before about how video games are used as like treatment in some cases, especially we've heard like with children. I mean, hell, we've heard about like DDR and PE class, right? Which isn't necessarily to treat anything, but you still have like the games being used, you know, to help with certain things. But I've like to go so far as to say via prescription. That's so fascinating to me.
Yeah. And honestly, there is a link. I mean, we'll just, I'm going to throw this out there, how they say that playing video games helps with hand-eye coordination. All of that is built in the brain. You know, muscle memory included, that's one thing too. But the brain builds those pathways that are going to create that muscle memory and create the instinct that the body's going to have. And that is all based on visual cues and acting upon them. This is no different.
Huh. And I had no idea about this, but Bobby says the dude who made Vivid Vision was partially inspired by my article on Vogue, because Bobby's talked about this before, some of his stereo blindness issues and how that's worked with the 3DS and, you know, some of the early VR stuff. And so one of those articles he wrote got a little bit of traction in some of those communities. So he said he even mentioned that article early on in Press Stuff. I think he even commented on the article at Vogue. Well, that's really your impact. It's really awesome. Good.
It's not just variety articles anymore.
Yeah, it's not just variety articles.
Hype Mayhem has a good question. If a game is prescribed by a doctor, will insurance companies cover it? Well, I'll tell you this. Insurance companies don't cover every medication. When I had to take Provigil, when I was having like the bad passing out at my desk problem, it wasn't covered by my insurance. No, it was. And then when New Vigil came out, that wasn't covered by my insurance. So there are still new therapies. Like, I'll give you another one. When I was diagnosed with minor sleep apnea before my surgery, I had to use these nose stickers that were $70 for a month to keep my nasal airways open. And
the Breathe Right strips?
No, not Breathe Right. They're little nets that go in your nose. I'm pointing at my nose like people can see it. They go in your nose with a sticker around it that wraps over, and it actually just keeps the nasal passage held open, but it whistles. So I'd wake myself up whistling through my nose. But at any rate, those weren't covered by my insurance. I still paid $70 a month for them for 2 months and then decided I wasn't going to do it again.
Yeah. I worked in insurance for 14 years. I don't anymore, so I can talk a little more openly about it. Actually, I'm sorry. It was more like 18 years. It was two different companies. But usually, like, if you were to go to a doctor's office or a center to play the game, it would probably be considered part of the therapy there and would probably be covered like that. But if it's something where it's like you have to buy it and take it home – it'd probably be viewed akin to like a textbook in a class, and it wouldn't be covered by the insurance. But don't take my advice for it. Call your company if you have any suggestions. I can only tell you based on my experience, this is the likely turnout.
Sorry. There's another thing about this though, is that they didn't really see, there was a marked improvement for people that were playing the game. But it wasn't a big enough improvement that the researchers wanted to see. And then when they did their control testing, they had a sham game versus the real thing. And people that played the sham game as well, they did well too. So really, in general, it's the games. Having a kid sit down to focus on the game increase the child's attentiveness in general. So he kind of set himself up for failure this way, or the company set itself up for failure this way.
Hmm.
I mean, and they're trying to market this in a pharmacological setting, not necessarily as a technological one, where I think that there's not really anything new that they're doing, you know? A kid, even with a short attention span, can usually sit and play a puzzle game or something, because the thing is that these games are offering enough dynamic visual information that I think it can make things easier to focus on when you've got a lot more stimulation going on in front of you than just looking at words on a paper and listening to your teacher drone. You know, just saying.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to move on. As fascinating as this is, and I love hearing stories about video games being used just outside of, like, you know, entertainment and its impact on the real world. But moving on, we got a couple more stories for you guys before we get to calls. So, Loki, your turn.
All right. So we have news about acquisitions. So Tencent, you may remember, who owns a good share of Riot Games, Epic, Supercell, Ubisoft, Paradox, and Frontier. They are now looking to acquire full ownership of Funcom, the makers of Conan Exiles, Age of Conan, Anarchy Online, and The Secret World. And apparently, they're already largest shareholder of the company at 29% as of today. But they are they're looking to acquire more, purchase more shares from Funcom, current holders, to make that acquisition. It says, we have a great relationship, or according to Funcom CEO, we have a great relationship with Tencent as our largest shareholder. So far, we are excited about this opportunity. We will continue to develop great games and that people all over the world play, and believe that the support of Tencent will take Funcom to the next level. So we'll have to see what happens.
There's a lot of concern out there that Tencent's taking over too much.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of stuff. So, I mean, this is just another one in the pile there. So, I mean, it's interesting because most of the companies Tencent, I feel like, has been kind of investing in are most, for the most part, the smaller stuff. But then I think, like, well, but Riot Games, Tencent has a big
Ubisoft
stake in that.
And,
yeah,
you
it's
kind of Epic.
They are getting to be really, really big there. So, although, I mean, they don't all come together as, like, Tencent. It's still, like, they're more like a holdings company, I guess, in some ways. It's kind of interesting. So, I guess we'll see if that has any further impact on the industry as time rolls on. All right, moving on. One more story for you guys, and it has to do with video games becoming movies. And one movie I think people have been looking forward to is the Uncharted movie. Well, that has been delayed to March 5th, 2021. And that's just because there's so many production hiccups going on. They can't fucking find a star, I think, is still the problem they're having. Because I don't think Tom Holland is still in it, right? Or
I don't even know.
Maybe
anymore.
That is happening. I don't know. The last thing it says, the cast led by Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg is apparently settling. So maybe that's not
the problem. Wahlberg should never be leading any cast.
Mark Wahlberg. He's not playing the main character. He's not playing Drake. So Tom Holland.
Whatever happened to what's his name playing Nathan Drake that everybody wants him to play? Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, no, he did that fan movie, and then I think for the most part he's probably considered too old for the part at this point. I don't know. But anyway,
no, come on.
I'm not saying
they're still making
that.
Indiana Jones movies.
I'm not saying I think
shit,
that.
Shit, man.
I'm saying. Anyway, now there was a loss of a director. So Travis Knight was the director attached to this, and he just recently had left the project. So that's probably, I mean, completing an Uncharted movie that hadn't even started yet and having it in theaters by December, that was going to be rough. And I think even a March date seems pretty, I mean, that's thinking there's not going to be a lot of effects or things like that in it. I bet this gets pushed back again. This ends up being at least a summer movie for 2021. And that is assuming they find a new director like now. Like next week we have a new director.
An animated movie or something like that.
Or now the way to go is a Netflix series. My God, do you know how big The Witcher is? It's like one of the biggest series like
I
ever now.
I haven't watched it yet.
But I think it's also important to note Netflix is global. Most TV shows, like let's say Game of Thrones on HBO, not global in the same way, especially all at once. So it's interesting. So anyway, Uncharted movie delayed, but it wasn't something I was exactly like going to go running to the theaters to see anyway, so I'm not that torn up about it.
Just think, we're only 3 weeks away from the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Right? I saw a billboard for that, actually.
Yeah,
we have one
locally.
Shit, I thought of Tiger. I dropped something, sorry. I thought of Tiger Claw while I was driving down, because on 80, outside Dixon, they have a giant billboard, and it has Sonic on it, and it says, if you were this guy, you'd be there by now. that made me laugh.
We actually have one locally in Rancho Cordova on 50.
Oh, really? Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, so,
I'll have to go drive out that way.
So,
where is it?
It's between Sunrise and Hazel.
Oh, I'm usually not out that far, so, okay, that makes sense, but interesting. All right. Well, anyhow, let's move on, and we're going to open up our Discord at vognetwork.com/discord. to take some calls. And I see somebody is already in the green room, ready to go. So let's bring them on. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is Ranma.
Great to hear from you, Ranma. How you doing?
Not bad. I just finished doing like several loads of laundry, and now I got to get ready for the work week and kind of, you know, get back into the swing of things.
It's the Sunday thing to do, to catch up on laundry and things around the house, and that's kind of where Lazy Sunday comes from, even if you're doing chores. But me, I was up until 3 a.m. last night and then got home at like 2 o'clock and had to set everything up for the show tonight. So like cranking out the show roll and that B-roll for Bayonetta like finished as Bobby's show was starting. That's how late I was running tonight. But we're done.
I understand. There are those times I go out Saturday night, don't get home to about 4 or 5 because of the subway, wake up around 11 or 12, dragging ass around the house trying to figure out what all I have to do today, you know, and then realizing I got this, I got that, I jump into the jet. Let me just run through this, and I can't miss my Sunday night gaming dates or else, yeah, I'm going to get fragged.
Well, we always appreciate you being here. So what's on your mind tonight? What do you want to call in about?
I appreciate that. Well, I want to talk about this whole issue with everybody has with streaming services and so forth.
Oh, talking about like how Paradox is coming up with their own and all, maybe, and all this stuff?
Yeah, I look at it this way. Just because they have exclusive shows, you are not obligated to sit there and subscribe to it. There are ways around it. Yes, people are going to pirate. I read an article where piracy had gone up since all these streaming services came out, and I said, well, it's not like it never left. Any reason to save a buck. But now, as somebody who was watching the whole Peacock presser and all that stuff, I can say this. What Comcast is doing is giving everybody a free subscription to Peacock, which I think is a good idea because that's what AT&T is doing with their HBO Max. I really feel if some of these streaming services can align themselves with certain providers and giving it away for free or reduced price, it could help, you know?
Yeah, I have to say, and even though I have CBS All Access for Star Trek and stuff, mm-hmm. I think it's really silly of CBS to not have their television shows on a free version of the platform. I think you can go to their website and watch some of it, but like it should be mixed in with the CBS app that's there. Like if I want to watch Survivor from this week or something, or what else is on CBS? Undercover Boss, is that still a thing? I don't know. If I want to go watch one of those shows, I should just download the app and be able to do it for free, commercial supported or whatever. But then if I want the premium stuff, then I have to pay for it, I guess.
Well, actually, you can still do that to a certain extent because every cable provider gives you a login. You can make multiple logins. And let's say you happen to miss Survivor and it's not on the DVR. You can go to the website, punch in your login credentials, and you can watch it, whether it's from the browser, the app, or something.
Xfinity and that stuff lets you do a lot of that stuff. I'm not endorsing anything, but it is interesting how, like, if I want to watch television on my second computer monitor, that system does let me do it. And I will give it kudos for that. It's probably the only reason I've kept cable.
Well, same thing with Verizon. I mean, you know, but let's...
I'm sorry. I have to read this comment from chat because I think it's really good. Phoenix 7726 says, something also just occurred to me for those that want to see Picard and don't want to pay. Wait for it to come out on DVD or Blu-ray and check it out at your local library. Many have extensive video collections. That's a brilliant suggestion. And yeah, I think the first season of Discovery did come out on DVD and Blu-ray. And so, and I think like Orange is the New Black on the Netflix side. A lot of these shows do. Stranger Things as well. They do mm-hmm. come out on DVD and Blu-ray eventually. So you mm-hmm. won't get to see it now, but you'll see it eventually. I think that's a brilliant way to do it. And you're not pirating. You're doing it the fair way.
I mean, not for nothing. I have Netflix. And I did buy the first two seasons of Voltron Legendary Defender because there are those times where, you know, yeah, you can pull it up at any time. But sometimes it's a lot quicker to walk over to your shelf, grab the disc and pop it in and play.
And quickly, sorry, ACDEFT is saying the Picard series is on Prime Video in Mexico. Yeah, so it's in different regions, they end up on different services. So Picard is on a thing called CBS All Access, and I think that service actually only exists in the States, maybe Canada. But yeah, so like Star Trek Discovery is on Netflix everywhere else, but in the US, it's on the CBS thing. And then Picard...
Oh, VPN?
Well... that's neither here nor there. Picard is on the CBS thing here in the U.S. Then everywhere else, it's on Prime Video. I say everywhere else, but I think Canada is an asterisk because I think Discovery was actually on some Canadian service there. Sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head because it doesn't apply to me. But I remember Delvin or one of my Canadian friends telling me about this. So Canada may not actually be the same way. But this happens a lot. This is how the shows make extra money. They sell the rights in different countries.
Like, there's a show on the WB called Black Lightning in the UK that's on Netflix. And I'm like, wow. But let us not also forget, remember, you can do your own team streaming, whereas one person has Netflix, one person has Hulu, one person has Crunchyroll, one person has Funimation. And a lot of these sites, a lot of these services allow you to have multiple streaming at the same time, trade accounts and so forth, you know? That also helps.
Yeah, I've done that. Like, I'm not going to be, you know, try to lie and say, but I have definitely shared the login, like, traded, like, oh, you want my CBS? Cool. Can I get your Hulu? And, you know, I've definitely done that before. And, you know, I think a lot of companies are thinking about cracking down on that. But, yeah, for right now, I think a lot of people are doing the sharing thing.
Yeah, because, look, let's be real. If they try to crack down on it, it they'll watch their sales go up a little bit, and then it'll probably sink back down because people are starting to realize, well, I'm only going to watch it for certain things and call it a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how this all pans out, and, you know, we'll see if Peacock's strategy, you know, since they are coming in this a little late to the game, although coming in late certainly didn't stop Disney Plus, so sure. We'll see if maybe this strategy of being a little more free for some of the stuff is going to really help it out. We'll see. It's just a matter of time.
And I tell you this, the couple of key points is the fact that they're going to be live streaming of sports events, the Olympics.
And yeah, that's something none of their competitors do live streaming, so that's going to be interesting.
And I've also found this out. I know there are people who enjoy watching the Tonight Show and the late night with Seth Meyers, all of that. If you get Peacock, you can watch that a couple of hours before anybody else.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because they taped that stuff earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And then,
I can say this. Fallon is taped around 6, and Seth is taped around 7.
Interesting. But you know what's interesting? Living on the West Coast, you know, back when satellite was all the rage, that was how we saw the Tonight Show early, is because, oh, we're watching an East Coast feed thanks to satellite, so we get the Tonight Show at 11, or excuse me, at 8:30. So
that also kind of messed with my head because when I travel in the different time zones, I'm just like, wait, why is this an hour early? Is my watch wrong? Did I miss up something? You know,
no, time zones are crazy, especially East Coast versus West Coast. And I know a lot of you East Coasters are listening and probably think it's such as yourself, Rama, and probably think it's crazy that I'm telling you it's 8:30 here. The night is still relatively young, but that's why we do the show when we do it, so that you know we have time to go home and decompress and you know get ready for Monday on the workday. Whereas for you East Coast folks, I know you stay up past midnight sometimes to listen to the very end of the show. So it's just fascinating how the world works like that. And that's just West versus East Coast. I'm not even considering some of the folks in Europe that have listened, Japan, and so forth. And those are real crazy time differences. I know Akuma JP listens to us on Monday morning.
Look, when I used to work at Starbucks, I made sure my Sunday schedule was set so I could be at home to listen to you guys, okay?
Well, we appreciate no matter where you're at. And that is truly why we do podcast the show as well, is because that way, you know, for those of you that can't be here due to whatever time restriction you might have, you can still participate with the show throughout the week.
Indubitably.
All right. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thanks for the call, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Love listening and participating.
All right, take care, buddy.
All right, take care. You too. Bye.
Bye. All right. I think with that, we're going to shortly wrap things up. I do want to check on last-minute stories, though, from either of my co-hosts.
Yeah, I was just going to mention this is kind of funny. In the world of DLC that we have nowadays, it's so refreshing to see that there's companies still putting out cheat codes. And one of those is actually for Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz HD on PC. Apparently, there's some cheat codes where if you type in the word cube, triangle, or star on the character selection screen, it will change the ball into a cube, a triangle, like a pyramid type thing, and then some multi-pointed star-like shape. So, and it makes the game a lot harder because, you know, cubes don't roll very well.
Cubes don't roll very well. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
That's it.
Darsara, do you have anything?
I think I'm going to stay on Facebook for a while until people are done lifting up a rapist. Sorry.
I removed the app from my phone. You'll be back on it tomorrow.
No, I really don't think I am because I'm getting really pissed off at all these people now that someone is dead. And they're like, oh, he was God's gift to everything. He raped a woman and cheated on his wife.
Take the app off your phone. It was the best thing I ever did.
We'll see.
Anyway, that's it. We're going to wrap up the show and throw it all in for tonight. We're done. But not until we go around and get everybody's final thoughts. I'm excited to be back here in 7 days. I'm very thankful so many of you tuned up in here tonight live because I know like the Grammys are going on right now and like I'm so over the Grammy
Apparently
Awards.
Apparently Alicia Keys though was amazing.
Yeah. There'll be highlights on YouTube. So and some of the fashion was really good, but I will appreciate seeing you guys. I appreciate seeing you guys here in light of all the other stuff you could have been doing tonight. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and say I really appreciate it. That's it. Thank you guys so much. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air, we can't have them. But it looks like it's growing because I see more of you watching tonight than in the previous weeks. So thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Hope you'll stay a little while. So let's go around and get everybody's final thought. I will start with Loki tonight. Your final thought.
My final thought is this game that popped up on my Twitter looks very much like... Legend of Zelda. The old Legend of Zelda.
Zelda inspired?
Yeah, it's a game called Dawnthorn. It looks very much like Legend of Zelda, but pretty cool though.
All right, Darsaka, your final thought.
I hate menu schedule. See if I can get it changed.
Fingers crossed.
Light some candles, sacrifice a chicken.
My final thought tonight is I have been showing great restraint in not ordering that Burger Time Arcade 1-Up machine still. We'll see if that survives another week. We'll see. All right. That's it. We're out of here for tonight. Thank you guys again so much for watching the show. We really appreciate you guys being here or listening on the podcast feed, wherever you were participating with the show tonight. Thank you. We will be back in 7 days to do it all again. Quick programming note for those of you that are live. Bobby Blackwolf will not be here next Sunday. There is a annual football game that a lot of people get really into. And for some people, it's a big social event. And I know for that, it is
celebration of owls.
Yes. Bobby is into it for the social aspect and all that good stuff. So it's a chance for him to see his buddies. And you know what? Sometimes we all deserve a week off. So Bobby's taking next week off. We will still be here live at 6 o'clock Pacific sharp, 9 o'clock Eastern to wrap up the week in gaming news. So happy gaming, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days here at Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.